Shake that guy. He's sick. Oh. Yes. Okay. Yes. Thank you. That's great. Hello.
I hope you did that for me.
You ready? Okay. Good evening, everyone. The regular meeting of the Pismo Beach City Council, Tuesday, December 20th, is now in session. It says 4:29, but I... Okay, we will begin. Could we have roll call, please?
Filled with shoppers, selecting gifts for family, friends, and loved ones, who, like the wise men 2,000 years ago, brought gifts of gold to the baby that was born in Bethlehem's manger. Christmas carols and beautiful music herald the birthday of him at Christmas, whose birth was so significant that it changed time from B.C., before Christ, to A.D., Anno Domino, Latin words for in the year of our Lord's dominion. And it was 135 years ago, in 1870, that the Congress of the United States passed a resolution, and President Ulysses S. Grant, our 18th president, signed into law that resolution that declared Christmas a federal national holiday, a time to celebrate the joys of our faith, our family, and our friendships. And the Christmas greeting recently sent to many by President George W. Bush included the scripture which speaks to each of us today. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and with psalm, Psalm 95:2. It is in this spirit that we pray this invocation tonight. We're so grateful for the open public council meeting conducted in the council chambers of our city hall. Our mayor and each council member have been freely elected by our citizens to be channels through which you can give direction and guidance for the betterment of our city and each citizen. Cause us to always remember and to understand that righteous thinking and righteous lifestyles are no accident. These must be pursued continually by each of us. So we invoke your blessing and your enablement upon all who serve us, all who work at City Hall, our mayor, our council, and their support staff. Cause each of them to sense the strength and the security of your invisible presence. And may your divine guidance direct their thoughts, the thoughts of each council member. And may each decision that is made honor you and make our city a better place for our citizens and the guests who visit our city to live and to enjoy life. This invocation we pray in the name of our personal Savior and Lord. Amen. Will you please place your hand on your heart, face the American flag, and repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Dr. Jones. The next item on our agenda would be presentations, and we would have had a presentation from the Boy Scout troop. However, the Boy Scout master is sick with the flu this evening, so we will not have that this evening. The next item on our agenda is public comment period. This is the time for people in the audience to make public comment on items not on the agenda. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to make any comment on items not on the agenda? I do have a few speaker cards, one from Dave Bumgarten.
And it's airing for the general public three times a week on Channel 2. It airs at 12:30 on Wednesday and 7:30 in the evening. We have a new time. And Friday at 5:30 p.m., and you're all welcome to see it. It's called Plot Lines, The Return to Pismo. And we still want to do that, and I hope that's progressing in terms of your old city hall, and I know it's progressing in terms of Dinosaur Caves Park. Thank you very much. Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much. Same to you. That was very nice. Let's see. Bruce McFarlane.
I'll spare you the singing. That's saved for the shower. I have two items here that I'd like to speak about. One of them is I'd like to bring up to your information and notice that one thing's good about having these meetings all televised on a public access station, that I was watching the county deal with vacation rentals out of Cambria and stuff. And it was brought up since, and the county council agreed and said this is a true fact, that since vacation rentals are public serving entities and stuff, they fall under the Americans with Disability Act. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with the city because they're private residences. But as you go ahead and pass all these things, you might want to bring out at the counter the fact that just for being good public servants, that there's a possibility that sometime if your place doesn't meet up to walkway entrances and all the little nuances of the Americans with Disability Act, that they might be incurring some problems at some point. And the downtown area is immensely filled with vacation rentals, old housing, new housing. I know a lot of it isn't anywhere near up to the Americans with Disability Act. The other thing, item that I want to bring up is that since you do have an item coming up with, quote, maybe have later on the agenda having to do with public beautification on sidewalks and stuff, you still haven't dealt the fact that the city came to an agreement with the merchants in the downtown area that they were allowed to have one side of the sidewalk with their merchandise on. They're not supposed to have anything, but this has been a de facto agreement. You have two that I know of right off the bat. The Unknown Surf store on Dolliver, the guy has put out a clothes rack now on one side. There's a banner going across from the public palm tree over to the building there. He's got stuff on both sides of the table and everything. The other item is the police chief's kite store. He's got stuff on both sides of the street. Now, what is with this? It's real simple. You did have somebody from the city walk through all the merchants and tell them that you should only have stuff on one side of the street. And these are because what it came down to, they said you had to have 30
for the council. I couldn't help but see the article about somebody trying to poison the trees. And it's a pretty sick kind of thing to do, go damage public property. At any rate, but right now, there's a little chart here. I don't know, do you have a way to project this thing at all? Okay. You know, since we've gotten here 200 years ago, we've done nothing but just wipe out the wildlife habitat. We've reduced the bird populations down to way below their former levels. Some of them, like wood ducks, are just almost non-existent anymore. But our contribution as Americans is that with 5% of the world's population, we produce 40% of the world's pollution. And I'm right in there with everybody else. And we've got to change. And part of that, to me, means planting more appropriate trees to absorb this carbon dioxide that we put out, and to shade our streets, to give our place a beauty and a uniqueness. In the past, we've kind of, all the cities on the coast, we're newcomers. We just showed up off the turnip truck, more or less, you know. And they planted a lot of trees that were really not appropriate. You look on James Way, all the ornamental pear trees, they've been there for 25 years. 30% of them are dead. They're just not even there. The rest are struggling. They're ugly. They've got a disease because they don't like to be close to the ocean. You know, And it's it seems like all we can plant is Japanese plum and crepe myrtle and things like that that really don't serve us very well. I don't think you really need big trees in the city. There's a bunch of California trees. This is one of our local heroes, David Frost, right? He owns the Native Sons Nursery. He's gotten huge write-ups in the Los Angeles Times and the local papers, and him and some people got together, and they printed this book, California Native Plants for the Garden. And you can look in there, and you can find madrone, bay laurel, island oak, things like that that would be perfect street trees. They get about 25 feet tall. They're not big. They're not rambling. They're not going to drop leaves and needles all over you like the yucks and the pines and the cypresses, you know. And we kind of need to do that because our business is tourism. How we look affects a lot. And if we're just going to plant a bunch of ornamental pears, we just look like a parking lot in Fresno. You know, there's no difference. You can't tell the difference between the landscapes now when you go from place to place because they're kind of a generic, off-the-shelf nursery plants. And you can't really you need to start with small trees like this. That's what we do. We grow small trees. This tree is about 6 months old. And you put it in a bigger pot like that. We get these from C&M Avocado Nursery for $1 apiece. And we've grown street trees for San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, County Parks, Lopez Park, a lot of different places. Really 15,000 trees in the last 15 years I've grown and planted. And I think somebody needs to get in touch with me and talk to me about this. I've gone down and talked to the guys at the yard. It's not their job to change the rules. You know, it's kind of your job. And we need to do something a little bit different than what we're doing. It doesn't cost any money. That's the interesting thing. This is a global warming chart. You know, what to tell you how to plant them, where to plant them. We also have a couple thousand bucks worth of wildflower seed we tried to give to somebody from the dinosaur caves, but I've never gotten anybody to ever call me back about it. I've called them several times, and it's like
Thank you very much.
You know, just doing their job. But okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. I have a speaker card for Joe Crescione. Santa.
I'm Joe Crescione, but I'm not going to sing. Anyhow, with all of the attacks that we've had on religion, I thought I'd come over and wish all of you and everyone in Pismo Beach and all over the world a Merry, Merry Christmas, and because this is something that we really need, is more of us believing in a higher being. And I certainly believe in the higher being. I know I'm not perfect, and I know that I need all the help that I can get. So, again, I want to wish you all a Merry, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and all of the good things that go along with it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Crescione.
Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on an item not on the agenda? Welcome back, Chief.
Thank you very much.
Are you happy to get away from that cold weather?
I am. Back to my own bed, home cooking. after 11 weeks, hundreds of push-ups, thousands of sit-ups, about 40 miles of running, 231 chow hall meals, 3 Marine Corps barbershop haircuts, 5 research papers, 4 speeches, 6 book reports, 3 midterms, 5 final exams, 15 credits earned from the University of Virginia, and one very challenging 3-mile-long Marine Corps obstacle course. I'm proud to say that I successfully graduated. And it's good to be back.
Congratulations.
I can tell you it was the most challenging, rewarding, and worthwhile thing I've ever done in law enforcement. And I just want to say thank you to City Manager Kevin Rice, and thank you to the mayor and council members for allowing me this opportunity. I was one of the older ones there. There's many folks that were younger, but I can tell you that I led the charge of the old timers, and it represented us very well. This is one of the things that this book is gold. This is the academy directory of the 250 students that were there with me, and we're the 223rd session, so there's 222 before us. And this is the names, addresses, phone numbers, email addresses of not just students locally. Within the United States, but internationally as well. We had students from New York to Hawaii, from one student from a parish in New Orleans, south of New Orleans, that completely lost his home. But he came to the academy because he had nothing back at home, and at least he had food and warmth and a shelter there. To a student in the unusual-sounding town of Unalaska, Alaska, and, and from Luxembourg to Madagascar. It was just phenomenal. But, I thank you so much for this opportunity. It's intensive leadership. Hopefully you'll see a difference in my style of leadership and management in the organization, and I have no doubt that it's made me a better person, and hopefully it's going to make our organization better as well. Thank you again.
It's never be the same. So if you happen to be by, they're pouring, stick around for an hour or two and help babysit. Is this the time to ask for an item to be pulled from the consent agenda, Madam Mayor? Can we ask for a consent agenda item to be pulled now, or do you want us to wait?
That would be fine. Go ahead and ask now.
I request you pull consent item 4G.
I think that you asked for that. Okay.
It should get more than an anonymous vote in the consent agenda, and I request that the planning department or Chief Turner describe this item of disaster preparedness, and in light of the Tribune 4-part series on disaster preparedness over this last week, and they reported a weakness of the PISMO plan. This is an opportunity to remind the public of the extensive report Chief Turner gave a few weeks ago, and to assure the citizens of Pismo Beach were not without a plan. And this grant under FEMA will refine our Pismo plan and make it possible for us to be eligible for FEMA dollars in the event of a disaster. And I also see this plan as related to the fire report and disaster preparedness in the Citygate report. So if you wouldn't mind doing a little more than just
okay, so you want to embellish more than that, so you want me to pull it? Okay.
Yes, thank you.
We will pull it. Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to an item not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, we will come back to our next item on our agenda, which is City Council comments and requests. Councilman Natoli, do you have anything?
These newfangled things. Yeah, I want to mention one little item here. I've been appointed by the League to be the point person for all the cities to contact me so that they can start preparing their code of ethics for their city. And as a matter of fact, Pomona already contacted me, and they're in the process now of laying out their ethics code. And so I had to give them all the information available, and I was happy to do that. And it's one of our main items on our agenda for the Board of Directors meeting in February, so I will be addressing them. That's all I have.
Thank you. We're proud of you for that. Mm-hmm. Councilwoman Higginbotham, do you have anything tonight?
Thank you. EOC is going to be... this is pretty neat. EOC is scheduling senior health screenings, and I forgot my paper, but if you check the EOC website, I believe it's tomorrow or Thursday in Grover Beach, if anyone needs a health screening. And I have a request. We were awarded that grant for Dinosaur Caves bathrooms, and it was my understanding that then the bathroom that was at Dinosaur Cave was going to be moved to Spyglass Park. Right? Mm-hmm. And so we had a gentleman speak to us at the last council meeting requesting maybe some sort of toilet facility at the tennis court. So I was wondering if the current porta potty that was at Spyglass then could be moved to the tennis court and then meet that need. So I don't know if I need a consensus from my fellow council members or. So we are very, very proud and happy for him and his family. So that's all. Thank you.
We're happy to hear he's home safe.
Me too.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-G, do you have anything this evening?
I do. I had one question for Mr. Dalzite, and this is sort of for the viewing audience, Mr. Dalzite. I had questions from persons about the Cypress Street Bridge and the inactivity of it of late and where that's going, because they, originally the persons doing that had stated that it would be complete prior to October 30th. And so I've just wondered if you could give a brief report on that.
Yes, what's been holding up the progress on the project is there's a Unocal Chevron pipeline that is no longer in use, and they have informed us that they have no future use for the pipe, and they've been extremely slow in responding to staff and taking the steps necessary to remove the pipeline off the bridge. We're working on that currently, and as soon as that pipe's removed, our contractor, Burke Construction, says it'll only take a few days to wrap up the project, and we can get that bridge in service very quickly. But it's that old pipeline that we'd like to have removed off the bridge. It's holding us up.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Delzite. And also, I thank God that your stepson is home safe. Councilmember Hickenbotham. That's all I have.
Thank you. Councilman Rabino, how do you feel?
I feel terrible. I don't think I've ever. I'm going to do my best. If this wasn't such an important agenda, believe me, I wouldn't be here tonight, but I have to. I just did want to comment about something, though, in that pipeline. That was very observant of you, Mayor Pro Tem, to bring that up. You see, one of the things that I've been advocating is that any of these ConocoPhillips, Unocal, whomever it is that has pipes in our ground or going over our bridge, it would seem to me that it would be in our best interest to lay claim to that rather than remove them. And the only reason I'm saying that is that as we progress as a society, there are ways to sleeve these different things and put cables through them, to put those bandwidth things, fiber optic, and all of that kind of stuff. And I know we have a lot under our streets here in Pismo Beach. And if there was any way to capitalize on that, it'd save us from digging up roads in the future. There's a lot that I would like to be able to see done with that underground network that is already there. In the past, we have had trouble with people condemning them or not wanting them any longer. So anyway, I've always been interested in that. And even if they could be cleaned out and sleeved, and we could just use those to take tertiary treated water out of our sewer plant as a method to water. On December 29th, I don't know how many of you listened to the Dave Congleton radio show, KVEC 920, but I'm going to take over for him that night from 3 until 5 p.m. And there's going to be some very interesting news broadcast that night about how the city of Pismo Beach and how other municipalities throughout the county can work together to make some real headway. And so anybody that wants to tune in, again, that's KVEC 920 a.m., and I'll be hosting that program. The final thing that I've got is that we will not be meeting again until mid-January. The first meeting in January has been canceled. I want to wish everybody in our viewing audience and certainly everybody here the most wonderful holiday. Having a six-year-old child, it just means everything in the world to me and has brought me back to places I hadn't been in many, many a year. And I hope that you all have the same enthusiasm, and God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I think, on those pipes, I feel like in the past someone's mentioned that in the past, and we did ask, and what was the result of that?
The oil companies are not willing to abandon or turn those pipelines over to the city. We've got them going from one end of the city to the other. But they say they may have a future use for them, and it would be premature for them to dedicate those to the city. This particular pipeline that's strapped to the bridge is a real old one. And, in fact, about 8 years ago, the oil company bypassed that pipeline. They bored underneath the creek. and from one side of the creek to the other. And so that pipeline that's hanging off the bridge is just excess weight right now. So it serves wouldn't serve any future purpose to us. But
the others under the street, though, they're...
Yeah, I think that would be good.
We should probably keep after that, though.
We're definitely keeping an eye on that for future potential. I agree that it could serve the city well if they would dedicate those to the city when they're done with them.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I'm sorry?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Do we charge them for having their pipes running through our city?
I think we do.
Yeah. I mean, do we get money for that?
We do. There's a franchise fee that they pay to us.
Okay.
It's minimal. Yeah, it's not a lot of money, but actually Mr. Eads is in the course of revising it now and taking it back to them and ultimately to council.
Okay.
But they do pay us.
Well, which might be an opportune time then to question them. You want to continue paying this fee, or why don't you just...
Give it to us. Huh?
Give it to us. A lot could be done with that piping under the roads.
I just have one request. When do we plan on doing our mid-year review?
We'll do that in July, Madam Mayor.
In July?
July.
Not till then.
When you say mid-year review, you're talking about mid... We have a two-year budget. Are you talking about...
I thought we did one in February. I thought we did some kind of a review.
No, the one I'm familiar with is the one we do in the middle of the two-year budget.
Okay. I was thinking that we did one around February because I was anxious for us to begin to do some goal setting. Is there a way we could do that in around February?
I'd be in favor of that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll set it up, try and get a facilitator and set it up for sometime in February then.
That would be good. Thank you. Okay, that's all I have. The next item on our agenda would be the consent agenda, and we have a request to pull 4G that will go to the end of the agenda. So I will entertain a motion for if no one else has any other items they want to pull. Is there any other items you want to pull from the consent agenda?
So moved.
Seeing none. Okay. So do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for the balance of the items on the consent agenda to be approved.
Councilmember Natoli?
Yes.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Yes.
Councilmember Rabinault?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-G?
Yes.
Mayor Reese?
Yes.
Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Okay, we have no public hearings this evening, so the first item is a business item 6A. Mr. City Manager.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 6A is... the subject title of it is the City Gate Supplemental Report on Pismo Beach Fire Services. If you think back several months ago, the council went ahead and awarded a contract to City Gate Associates, LLC, to conduct a feasibility study of fire consolidation services here in the South County and also a study of fire services delivered to the City of Pismo Beach. Earlier in November, there was a meeting at the South County Regional Center, a public meeting at which the elected officials and the public of Pismo Beach, Grover Beach, and Arroyo Grande, and also Oceano Community Services District were all invited to attend. And CityGate gave a briefing at that meeting on consolidation. Tonight, they're going to present their final report, which is a report on fire services delivered to the City of Pismo Beach. Recommendation here is to receive their report. If there are any questions from council or the public, the CityGate team is prepared to answer those questions. I'd like to go ahead and introduce them at this time. Mr. Dwayne Milne. Dwayne, if you'd raise your hand. Dwayne here is a retired city manager of 20-plus years, and Fire Chief Stuart Gary, is also a retired fire chief of many years, have done this report here for the city. And with that, I'd like to go ahead and turn it over to our CityGate team.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the council. As you remember, in the consolidation study, we were tasked with also analyzing, both from an operational and fiscal perspective, your relationship under the contract for fire services arrangement you've been running for the last few years. So with that, you've received a previous written report from us. I'd like to use the PowerPoint direct your attention to the screen. We'll go through the report highlights for you, and feel free to take your questions at the end.
Could you excuse me just for 1 minute? Could somebody turn off some of these lights up there? There's a glare coming off of this, and I think that would be very much.
That's great.
First of all, what were the study methods, both for the consolidation report and also the PISMO focus study? We looked at both fiscal and operational issues as entered into a cooperative arrangement several years ago with a regional fire department. And that in that agreement, due to cost sharing, not all resources would be dedicated solely to the city of Pismo Beach, and by that specifically the Shell Beach Fire Station staffing, and we'll go into that in more depth. Given this fact, we do find that CDF County Fire is giving the city what it is due under the contract and in some cases has exceeded what it was supposed to provide or the minimum it had to provide to the city. To continue the findings in brief, we find that the contractor is delivering the appropriate fire and basic emergency medical services to Pismo Beach and that the shared staffing plan for the Shell Beach Station has increased the staffing above what the city was doing prior to the start of the contract. We find that from time to time, a larger regional fire agency may not always field personnel in a contract city with exquisite local knowledge, not having served there 10, 20 years. However, even when small delays could occur due to that factor, the actual time lag can be so small as to be insignificant to the outcome and fall within national response time guidelines. We find the contract has provided the city with a level of command, staff planning, fire prevention and disaster planning, and background education to city executive staff is and was significantly higher than the previously understaffed Pismo Beach Fire Department could provide. So by contracting with County Fire, you significantly increased your headquarters and staff functions. Challenges for Pismo Beach Fire Services today and going forward. The past is the past. You enacted the contract relationship the last few years. The city's small fiscal size and the related ability to field a full-service fire department will continue to be a challenge. Isolation from multiple fire mutual aid partners, some of which are outside the area with very long response time, means you need an adequate firefighting force initially within the city limits. The quantity and cost of housing increases will limit the potential market for resident volunteer firefighters at the same time that requirements on volunteer firefighters are evolving statewide and nationally to higher commitment levels for the training hours just for the privilege of serving their community by being a volunteer at reserve. What is needed in City Gate's opinion for the city of Pismo Beach is an initial firefighting force that can keep the fires small. A total firefighting force on duty plus recalled volunteers that can slow the escalation of the emergency while more distant mutual aid forces can arrive. Pismo Beach will not, in your general plan timeline horizon, outgrow the need for volunteer reserve firefighters. It's highly unlikely that you'll ever fiscally be able to afford a complete fire department without volunteers. The ability is needed to deliver basic emergency medical services, optionally paramedic services if the current regional paramedic ambulance could no longer adequately support Pismo Beach. When we interviewed the personnel, and as council knows, there was a lot of background chatter about the CDF county operation versus the prior Pismo Beach operation. We found, as one could expect in a cultural situation, small agency versus large agency perspectives. These disagreements are normal and professional in nature over how to accomplish something, at what level of detail, is that the overhead support and coordination of fire services is the best ever. To quote an often heard comment, the experience and depth of leadership is better than anything we've had before. Other themes were that the technical quality and quantity of fire prevention was up, and that for the first time ever, thanks to the state trainers, the city disaster plan had been updated and key city staff members trained. Another City Hall veteran department head stated it this way, it's great to be a junior partner in a large army. We are and will be competently taken care of. In response times, overall, from beginning to end, we found response times consistent with or slightly slower than suburban norms, needs, and risk expectations for a community like Pismo. The first apparatus arrived on scene 89.1% of the time at 7.5 minutes from the time of call received at County Fire. That did not include PISMO police dispatch processing, which adds an additional 15 to 30 seconds. The call processing by County Fire, as they've converted from one dispatch computer system to another, is below national norms. It's running 2 minutes and 30 seconds for 90% of the calls. A national expectation would be 1 minute at 90%. Turnout time is that reflex time where the fire crew is notified electronically of a dispatch. They get dressed in the appropriate clothing and are wheels rolling. The way the county system retrospectively, and this is true statewide of the Department of Forestry, they don't always capture the time stamps of when the crew goes in route. So for this study, it was not possible to say what is turnout time versus travel time. We did look at electronic timestamps over a long data set. We know the begin time and we know the end time. We know the dispatch time. Now, looking at a map of Pismo Beach and doing the computer analysis of fire station coverage zones that we did for the consolidation study, I can extrapolate and say with a safe assurance that the travel time is normal and the turnout time, the crew reflex time in Pismo Beach is appropriate, being 2 minutes or less. The current Pismo Beach staffing. At your Bello Street main station, you have two personnel on duty and a City of Pismo Beach reserve or paid call firefighter, 24/7, 365. And I want to pause here and compliment the reserve firefighters. In the consolidation study, I had made the comment when available. And I want to come back and say two things in the broader consolidation study we didn't take time to say. You have one of the best, most dedicated reserve volunteer firefighter programs in this part of California. They have and do staff that third assignment 24/7, 365 and give of themselves to do so. The policy point I made in the consolidation study was many of those reserve firefighters are trying to be hired on as full-time career firefighters. They're going through college. Their lives are a little bit in flux. At any given time, quite a few of them might get hired. Their families could pull them away, and then the city might be challenged through volunteers only to fulfill that third staffing assignment. Doesn't mean they're not dedicated, but if you run low on headcount, that's not the same as paying for a third career firefighter every day who is obligated to show up. Just a different staffing situation. At the Shell Beach Station during fire season, there is this model where you share the cost and the staffing with County Fire. That's commonly called around California an Amador agreement after the county in which the state started doing it. A very, very common rural, emerging suburban California system to share the staffing of Department of Forestry fire stations on a year-round basis. So what the local agency pays for is to keep the staffing on duty in the winter when the state would otherwise close the season or close the station after a while on fire season. The state pays for the full-time fire season staffing, and the local agency pays the extra seasonal staff cost to keep it open in the winter. Duane will go through those numbers. The local agency pays a negotiated share of the maintenance and operational costs for the station year-round. The Amador agreement model equates to a local agency cost of approximately 30% of the total staffing and operational cost of a fire station. So you went from zero career firefighting costs prior to the contract to picking up 30% cost to increase your staffing. Now, there's no free lunch, we know. And here was the other half of that bargain, was that staffing for that station is really a county fire station. It is in Pismo Beach. It responds to Pismo Beach emergencies, but it can be pulled out to other regional emergencies. So thus, in the winter, you pay for that two-person staffing, and somewhat of the time, a third person can be there, or a Pismo Beach City reserve can be paid to be there on a part-time basis. Shell Beach availability concerns. Over almost 4 years, 39% of the calls were outside of Pismo Beach. That unit responded as a percent of its total call volume, 39% outside of the city. Conversely, the county Avila Beach unit responded into Pismo Beach an average of 141 times a year, or about 20% of Shell Beach area's calls for service. Now, those are different numbers. They're counted differently, and the Avila Beach responses were into all of Pismo Beach, not into Shell Beach. So these two figures are not a one-to-one count. Over the 3+ year period, County Fire gradually increased the amount and timeliness of how they would backfill the Shell Beach station when it left the Pismo Beach area, which they were not contractually bound to do at all in the agreement the city executed several years ago. That was a shared fire station for them to use at will for county and state issues, and they've gradually, as the calls for service have increased in Pismo Beach, they can return other county units to that station. They can bring back city employees, be they career or volunteer. Excuse me, CDF employees, career or volunteer. This represents a definite service improvement to Pismo Beach over the prior city-only level of fire services. To further dedicate Shell Beach staffing to Pismo Beach only is a next step council decision. You have the authority to increase that staffing commitment with the associated dollar costs, and during the fiscal session, we'll show you what those costs look like. Training and local knowledge. In interviewing all types of employees, we see a lot of difference in what the definition of training is. Again, in any profession, you can encounter a lot of professional opinion as to how something should be done. What we do find is the county operation does have a training program, the certifications are current, and that a variety of training does occur, including specialty water and cliff rescue operations. Additionally, the county
to Washington. And in all that time, the policy question in Pismo Beach is the most unusual that I've ever encountered, because the question here is not how to go from poor to adequate fire service, which is the usual problem faced by small cities in California and the western states. The policy question here is how to go from better to even better fire service. The service, I think, that you are receiving, as Stu has outlined both in great detail in the written report and then in the PowerPoint, is very, very good here in Pismo Beach. The question that the fiscal analysis seeks to answer is, what would it cost you in Pismo Beach to set up your own fire department at a minimal level of service? And how does that compare to the CDF contract cost? And then what would it cost you in Pismo Beach to provide a level of fire service equal to what you receive from CDF? Now, Stu and I are not apologists for CDF. We've worked all up and down the state, and we make a variety of recommendations, some in all different directions. We've suggested people consolidate. We've suggested they not consolidate. We've suggested they expand their department. We've suggested they not expand their department. It's all a case-by-case situation. And frankly, I think we're pleased at what we see here. What I want to do is to give you a summary of the fiscal picture, and there are a number of spreadsheets and hours of analysis behind it, but the numbers are really fairly simple. I want to start out by reminding you again of the current level of service that you're now receiving here at the Bella Street Station and the Shell Beach Station, as you can see up there. These are what we would consider, particularly in small cities in California, well-staffed levels of service. And as you've discussed, you could provide some more surety of the level of service out of the Shell Beach Station, but the basic level of service there and certainly at the Bella Street Station is very, very adequate for a community of this size and fire risk. Under the CDF contract, you not only receive the staffing there, but what is very, very important to us is that you're receiving administrative services that you've not received in the past. Battalion chief or division chief coverage, a dispatch, fire prevention and investigation, and personnel-related services. We were further up the coast here this past week talking to several communities that were looking at consolidating and consolidate versus maintain their own department. And we've been very, very firm with them that given the current laws, given the current legal liabilities, given the current training requirements, a minimum headquarters staff for a community this size is 5 plus clerical. And as we'll see in a moment, the original Pismo Beach Fire Department did not have that. if you were to ask us what you needed as a minimal department, a verbal outcome. Your current CDF contract for 06-07 is estimated in round numbers at $1.3 million. You've talked about adding an additional full-time position at Bellow, at the Bellow Street Station, so we've estimated that for you at another couple of $100,000. You've also talked about adding ALS service here, which is certainly a public policy choice that you can make. That's about $55,000. Combine those first two alternatives, you're now up to $1.6 million. And if you were uncomfortable with the Amador plan that you contracted for with CDF and you wanted to go to two full Schedule A stations, Bellow Street and Shell Beach, it would cost you $1.8 million next year under the CDF contract. We do want to remind you that the terms of the Amador contract, under those terms, that CDF is in fact dramatically exceeding that level of service, and you're not having to pay for it. And we're not here to tell you that you should not go to Schedule A, but to say that the difference in cost between the Amador contract of $1.3 million and the double Schedule A of $1.8 is not reflective necessarily of a comparable increase in service levels. The cost goes up fast. The service level will go up very little because the Amador contract itself is being executed in a way that provides you much higher level of service than many other CDF contract cities are receiving. In 2001, the Pismo Beach Fire Department consisted of seven full-time fire personnel, and you were staffing only the Bellow Street Station. You had two on duty and a reserve. The Shell Beach Station had no permanent staff, and your administrative staff was one fire chief. And that fire chief was expected to provide all of the incident command at all of the fires 24/7, fire prevention investigation, personnel, labor relations, overseeing training and supervision. The consequence of that, of course, is a lot of that doesn't get done. Incident command is delegated to captains, which reduces the effective firefighting force, and also you have a less well-trained individual running the incident. And you have fire prevention and investigation that is not what you would have if you had a five-man headquarter company. This is the way. Not only were you staffed in 2001, but many small agencies that we encounter today are staffed. We were at lunch with one agency that has a fire chief and one full-time firefighter on duty, period, for a community of 16,000. And so times are tough, and with two staffed fire stations here, you really are doing much better than most. If we adjust what you were paying in 2001 forward by the Consumer Price Index, that level of service, seven full-time firefighters, would cost you $1.2 million compared to a CDF contract services for only $500,000. While that's not a Schedule A, the level of service is not substantially below what you would experience with a Schedule A. And so the value of the service that you're receiving compared to what you would have to pay if you were operating your own department is quite substantial. What we wanted to do was to, again, in comparing apples and apples, to step back and say you have a current level of service with CDF, and we're assuming that you would not want to degrade that level of service. And so what would it take, really, to provide comparable service? And we have two models. The model that you see here is what I will call the minimal level. It opens both Bellow Street and Shell Beach and has two chief officers. And so remember I said it would take a five-person headquarters company, and here we only have a two-and-a-half-person headquarters company. This is minimal to open the door. And the cost of that, if you go over to alternative A and B, and the differences between A and B are what kind of benefit rate assumptions you make. The cost of that is right in the neighborhood of $2 million. Take the CDF schedule right there of 1.8. That's a Schedule A. That's Bello Street and Shell Beach open, plus all the administrative services. A and B, depending on the benefit rate assumptions, is Bello Street and Shell Beach open without having 2.5 chief officers. And so many of the administrative functions would not be taken care of. If you were to try to provide the level of service that is here for $1.8 million from CDF, you would have to add about $500,000 a year to either A or B. That $500,000 would pick up all of the additional headquarters functions and ancillary related costs. So apples and apples, to run an operation comparable to CDF will cost you a short $2.5 million, as my dad used to call it. CDF will cost you $1.8 million. Now, remember, what you are buying with CDF is not a city-dedicated fire department. I mean, there are certain insensitivities. Maybe that's a harsh word. It is not a local department. But are you receiving fire service that is better than national standards and better than what we see in most suburban kinds of communities? And the answer to that is yes, at $1.8 million.
Overall impressions. I think we've stated several times that we feel Pismo Beach currently is adequately served and responsibly served per its current agreement with County Fire. There are differing opinions on how to deliver it, at what cost. Should Shell Beach staffing ever have been shared with the county? At what point should it not be shared, picking up a contract city here and a contract city there in a large county operation? They did care and try to deliver good local services to Pismo Beach. We feel that Pismo Beach does have the responsive management team that has met or exceeded the minimum contract requirements. We also find, however, that County Fire will always have to have a larger focus on the county as a whole, and that in 2001, this city bought into a shared fire department. And I think that's fundamental, and sometimes with the public discussion has been lost, that you made a knowing purchase decision based on tighter finances 3-plus years ago to go into a shared operation. Is a shared operation perfect? No. Could you afford to do better 3-plus years ago? No. Can you afford to do something different today? That's an ongoing council policy decision. We find that the contract is providing or supervising your necessary specialty services, such as lifeguards, water rescue, and weed abatement, to name a few. What is apparent is that the prior Pismo Beach firefighters, to their credit, focused on just Pismo Beach and local needs. However, they also, only being stationed in Pismo Beach, didn't have the broader experience, training, and leadership on other major issues from outside the city to be prepared as they could have been for low-frequency but high-impact incidents. This is often the case in small, dedicated staffing agencies. They handle very well the average, typical day-in and day-out emergency and are very proud of that, as they should be. However, Pismo Beach is fiscally dependent on its tourism and income. You know, in your general fund, your tourism income exceeds your property tax income. And if you had some catastrophic one or more emergencies in a tourism property, either to set your image, which is almost irreplaceable now, or your motel tax backwards, you could be damaged significantly. You're no longer the sleepy little coastal community you were 4, 5, 15 years ago. You're now a significant tourist destination and attracting significant new homeowner dollars and second homeowners from around the state. We find current fire services has been sensitive to these changes and also on an ongoing basis needs to be able to adapt to periods of high tourist activity. That's one of your fiscal challenges in fielding a fire department, is affording the typical day in and day out emergency workload, but then also ramping up for the peak tourism weeks and weekends. The line personnel and small agencies typically struggled, and I'm not talking about just the prior Pismo Beach singular fire chief. Don't know who they were, don't know their knowledge, skills, and abilities. Typically in small agencies, a single chief officer or two cannot provide City Hall with a full service command experience in prevention, disaster preparedness, train the rank and file in the unusual and increasingly complex technical disaster and major fire incidents. Also, increasingly, even the mid-career line personnel don't understand that a few years back, the state changed the rules under OSHA and made incident commanders and fire chiefs liable for negligent mistakes, previously under OSHA and Suburban Fire and EMS Services. In current and future Pismo Beach, an understaffed and undersupervised fire department as existed prior to the county contract will likely no longer be acceptable to a changing community. Our findings, obviously Pismo Beach has to balance the dollars available for line personnel as well as command and prevention functions. Since cities usually fund line staffing first, they typically do not have an effective overhead structure, or they chose to buy into a large agency for full services, but at the expense of some loss of local fiscal control and service nuance. And I made that point at the regional consolidation meeting, that I went out demographically and looked for 4 and 5 station fire departments in the state of California today, and they've largely disappeared. The 1 and 2 station emerging suburban agencies are still going it alone. Some cases, they contract out. The small, middle-sized departments have largely been absorbed into larger agencies. We have illustrated that the cost of the city having its own fire department is higher than the comparable CDF contract services. We further find that even matching the line personnel staffing level provided by the current contract, you will not be able to provide the administrative staffing, training, and incident command backup depth now available to the city from the county and the state. The state-county contract enhanced some services while diluting, to some extent, local sensitivity. If an independent department were to be formed once again, it would have to be sized, in our opinion, not only to provide street-level services, but the overhead and ancillary functions the current contract provides. In summary, we feel Pismo Beach is getting good fire services from its shared relationship. That service meets national expectations, and in some cases, County Fire exceeded its contract minimums, such as backing up Shell Beach. The city is receiving a much higher level of headquarters services, such as disaster preparedness and fire prevention, and the prior city level of service was sized to do so. Very important word, sized to do so, not that they were unwilling to do so. They only can do so much with so many people. At current rates, the city would spend more money to receive less service if it fell back to the prior level of staffing the city-only department had delivered. Some recommended next steps from CityGate. And I want to go into these and add an additional point because I think you're at an important timeline juncture now. In the short term, we recommend renewing the CDF county contract for service at the existing service levels. I would further suggest you require improvement in dispatch processing times, require the contractor to track crew turnout and travel times, and provide quarterly reporting to the city council on their progress and improvement. After the midterm budget review in July, after seeing the latest revenue projections, the council could certainly consider whether to increase Shell Beach to dedicated staffing from the county CDF contract, or consider adding a paramedic to a crew at Bella Street. We recommend you participate fully in the local regional consolidation discussions. We further recommend, same thing we said that night at the community center, for small 1 and 2 station cities, fire station cities. The best blend of local control with local specialization. The county fire chief is required by the state of California 6 months prior to the expiration of the contract to start a demobilization plan to withdraw assets and personnel from the contract city, because those are now state employees and they're guaranteed state jobs. And should the city terminate the agreement, those employees are guaranteed state employment if the city chose not to rehire them, or they chose not to rehire with the local agency. You're looking down the barrel of a very tough timeline. Even if tonight you had the money and chose to reestablish a City of Pismo Beach Fire Department, it is highly unlikely in only 6 months you could go through the necessary administrative and technical steps to restore pay and benefit levels, technically hire people, background medically process them to put them back to work safely, protective clothing, and all the individual personal things you'd have to do is a near impossible task, in my professional opinion, in 6 months. On the other hand, I think some of you made positive comments about looking additionally at regional consolidation. If you choose to walk that path, how can you do so at the same time tell your partners in those discussions you're reestablishing your own fire department and starting down a series of cost steps that could affect regional sharing discussions? In our recommendation, the best, most prudent avenue for Pismo Beach, and I learned long ago in paramedicine, the old medical saying, first do no harm. The first thing to do, you have a contractor, it's operating. As we understand it, you can renew the contract, and you always have a 12-month out clause. That 12-month out clause can be any 12 calendar months. It's not tied to a fiscal year basis. If this council tonight or in the future decides to negotiate with your partners on shared fire services in the five cities area, go do it. Go ahead. That is our preferred recommendation. If those talks fail, you now are at the next fork in the road, Pismo only fire or stay with county, CDF. If you chose Pismo only fire, give CDF 12 months notice. In 12 months, you could restore city fire services sanely and effectively with the city hall staffing that you have to work on that issue, to rehire, re-equip, restart Pismo only fire services. So as you discuss and deliberate tonight, I want you to be conscious of it. It's very easy to say, let's just do it, without walking through all the little minutiae technical timelines to get something done. I advised you at the regional meeting on consolidation, it's a 1 to 2 year effort, depending on where you want to pick the start and stop point of that measure. And reestablishing fire services is more than a 6 month effort for most local agencies. With that, thank you. We'd be happy to take your questions.
Okay. Okay. If I can read my notes, and this is really just to clarify for myself, I pushed hard to select CityGate to do our report, even though it was considerably higher than the other companies. And it was my understanding.
Then separately, to look at the issue of cost and effectiveness of the city starting up its own department. The report that you heard at the joint meeting of all of the elected officials and all several weeks back was the portion of the report that you have that deals with consolidation, where we looked at consolidation, its costs, the impact on all the different agencies, and recommended that, in our view, that would provide the most effective level of fire service here. And suggest that you proceed with that.
Well, if I may, before my question, there was only one sentence that included consolidation this evening. Oh. So it went in a little different direction than I expected. And that's all I have right now until we hear the public comment.
Well we had given the full consolidation presentation at the previous meeting and were asked to address the secondary report here this evening. We can certainly talk much more extensively this evening, reviewing the material that we went over that night regarding consolidation. I commented earlier that we are not apologists for CDF. I'm a very practical person. In that, you are facing a a near impossible timeline. And the CDF state contract is really very interesting because once you enter into a contract with CDF, CDF is locked in and you are not. You have a 12-month out window. And our only suggestion with regard to the CDF contract is that given your time constraint here, that gives you the opportunity to administratively and policy-wise address all of the other questions that we have suggested need to be addressed. Do you consolidate? Do you not? If you choose not to consolidate, then do you establish your own department or do you not? Those decisions can be made within a comfortable time, and you have an out period that allows you to get out while still having fire service. The state, because it is so large, doesn't really have the legal ability, should you run out of that contract, to say, oh, we feel sorry for Pismo Beach, we're going to stay the course. They don't do that. But once you sign them up, they're locked in and you're not.
So, you know, if my memory serves me, at that meeting that we decided to hire your company, the focus was consolidation. And so there wasn't a lot of that talked about this evening. And then also, I don't know that my question was answered, my first question. Do you normally, in a report, advise a city to sign a contract with someone?
Yes, we've done that, where we think that provides them the time to deal with policy issues. We don't advise that necessarily where it is strictly a policy choice of do you go 12 years down this path or 12 years down that path. This suggestion is a very short term. You need breathing room. If you had a CDF contract that had 18 months to run, you would not hear that suggestion from us because you would have a fire department, and so CDF would continue to provide the services. If you were to consolidate, it's the same issue. Consolidation is very, very complex. If all of the agencies here were to decide tomorrow that they wanted to consolidate, you're looking at an 18 to 24-month aggressive track to consolidate. And during that period of time, Pismo Beach would need to continue to have fire service. And what you would be one of the issues that you would have to resolve in that consolidation is CDF would go away at the point of consolidation, and coming in at that point would need to be the firefighters and the administrative staff that would staff what CDF was doing at the Bella Street Station and the Shell Beach Station. An important question under consolidation is whose employees are they? And that has to do with what is the most cost-effective place to put people. Do you form a JPA and have everybody employees of a JPA? Do you make them all employees of, we'll say, Arroyo Grande, for example, because given actuarial studies, that is, from a retirement benefit point of view, the most cost-effective place? Do you make everybody employees of the city of Pismo Beach? Is that actuarially the most effective place to put people? Consolidation studies the question of when you consolidate and you have an agency such as Pismo Beach that has CDF, how do you get out of that? How do you have time to bring in the employees? And logistically, where are the employees located in the way that provides you the most cost-effective service? So even should you decide to consolidate, you need some way of continuing your fire service until the point where you have a cutover.
I almost feel like we put the cart before the horse here because we should have had the round tail before this portion of it. But thank you very much, sir. That's all I have at this time, Madam Mayor.
Madam Mayor.
Okay, Councilman Ravenel, do you have a question?
And that is part of my frustration tonight as well. You know, I inherently knew that we would not be dealing with this until this late in the year. Do you know when we first gave direction for this thing to move forward and to hire you guys and to bring you on? And you know, that has taken months and months and months to come to a conclusion.
And now, here we are having to be put in a position of saying, well, you're down to 6 months, and the state's going to require that these people start coming, pulling back and that kind of stuff. I think that is extremely unfair to the city council. I think it's extremely unfair to the citizens of Pismo Beach. And I don't want to cast blame. I don't know if it's staff. I don't know if it's you. I don't know. But it's very unfair what has happened. I also believe that we tonight, we're going to be talking about our role possibly of being within the consolidation issue. But,
Do you have any questions?
This timeline that you're talking about is really, I don't have a question.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Dottoli, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. You mentioned that you've got analysis without checking with our former fire chiefs that we've had. We had two good ones, too. In fact, one of them works with the state now. He does a lot of training for the state. And I can't see how you can get an accurate perception on the fire services that we had back then. And you're comparing that with the CDF today. And that, to me, that's not a fair comparison.
Do you have any questions?
My question is, did you ask any of our former fire chiefs? We had a lot of them in town, too. We still have some living here in town.
We were not doing a qualitative analysis of the ability of one fire engine company to fight a fire. What we were doing was a comparison of costs between the staffing and staff level of service that you had at that time versus now. And then we were looking at the level of service in terms of the number of firefighters and engines that you had available. We're not going to sit here and say, one group of firefighters is better than another group of firefighters. What we do know, and is, I think, effectively covered in the report that we've given you, and Stu really can go into this extensively this evening if you would like, but when you're fighting a fire, it's the speed and weight of attack that's critical. If you have one company and you have a fire, or you have one company and you have a critical accident, three people showing up is not an effective force, particularly with the two-in and two-out rule that they have in California. In Pismo Beach, you need two stations. And so what we were comparing was the level of service that you had, which was one station, and the cost was about $1.2 million, compared to the two-station level of service that you have now for about $1.7 million. And the difference between those two was the additional station and the additional headquarters administrative staff that's available to provide incident command. I think the level of service that you had in 2001 is the same sort of problem we see all up and down California. When you don't have any money, you do the best you can. We don't criticize people who are doing the best they can. You have X number of resources. But when people contract with us and say, here is our current situation, can we make it better? We answer in two ways. One, can you make it better within current resources? And then sometimes people ask, and where can we get the additional resources? And then we would make those kinds of recommendations as well. But that's the approach that we've taken, not to address whether or not your 2001 firefighters were doing a good job as individuals or not.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Councilwoman Higginbotham, do you have any questions?
Mm-hmm. On page one, under your study methods, you talked about you did extensive document review and interviews with the key stakeholders. And you mentioned that you interviewed the line firefighters, both CDF and previous Pismo personnel. And you said employees only. But I'm wondering, was that done with CDF personnel in the room, or these confidential interviews? How was that handled? Because clearly, we all know.
Obsession with us outside of the city of Pismo Beach.
Okay, thank you. Then on page three, we found no physical evidence or records to indicate that fire services is broken or ineffective. Could you just elaborate on that, what you meant by that line?
in interviewing the stakeholders and the response records from the agency and your staffing records, what you're paying, no one pointed out to where fires had dramatically increased, weren't being put out, prevention was non-existent. Nothing pointed us in any direction that the needs or the requirements of the contract were not being met. And where we heard anecdotal issues, we asked people to flesh out the anecdotal issues or to provide the records, and in many cases they could not be because they were either anecdotal or a professional difference of opinion as to how something should be done. And that's okay in life. In any profession, there can be differences of opinion how to get something complicated put together and or delivered. It doesn't mean, however, that you had an excessive number of buildings burning down, that we found trucks not maintained, that couldn't start and get to a call, that were not staffed, that had unsafe, under-equipped, no trained employees going to emergency. Nothing like that is occurring in the current situation.
Okay. Thank you. Technical service delivery issues. You said there's a need for improvement with regard to the dispatch time. Do you see this as a dispatch issue or a personnel issue? I mean, you kind of talked about turnout versus travel, but I just wanted a little more clarification.
Speaking for the county fire chief, who can certainly follow up on that, the short answer is it is a dispatch and personnel issue in the dispatch center.
Okay.
So in other words, the technology, conversion of systems, the number of operators on duty per shift, per hour to handle given call volumes, you have the technical and the human factor in the dispatch center.
Okay.
Because we could not precisely measure turnout time, we couldn't look at the in-station employee performance once they were alerted to when they were driving.
Okay, thank you. I appreciated your comments with regard to the high skill level and dedication of the reserve firefighters. I really appreciate that because we all support them 100%. And with that, this training and local knowledge on page 5, we do know, and I did talk to Chief Turner, that the personnel is required to have water and cliff rescue certification. But for this particular certification, they are not required to be recertified or do continuing education hours. And so I see that as probably something that's a little bit of a deficit because I think our topography requires that everybody really be highly skilled in that. And I don't know, do you see that in other fire departments?
Where homes are threatened. The challenge in the last 5 to 10 years in the fire service has been for every department is there are not enough person hours in a training year to train on every specialty to the desired degree of competence we would want as chiefs of department. Physically impossible given the safety mandates the federal and state agencies have put on us. The employees physically don't work enough hours in a year to have everything. So you have to target your training hours to frequency of local need and the risk of local need and do the best you can across a broad variety of situations. So when we said local sensitivity can be diluted with a large regional contractor like a county, yes, on any given day, you could have someone in on overtime who is not normally stationed in Pismo Beach, hasn't had the recertification or the specialty hours in some period of time, and is faced with a water rescue. Do they have minimal training? Yes. Have they been exposed to it? Yes. Is that as good as someone, a local employee or not, who just had the refresher class 2 weeks ago? Of course not. You'd always want the person who just went through the refresher class, as you would on the structure fire, the heart attack, the complicated technical rescue when 5 cars pile up outside here on the road. Mm-hmm. That's the headache.
Okay. And then my final question, thank you, is I guess this is, Open question. If this council chooses to move in the direction of consolidation, they continue their contract with CDF, is it realistic to sign a contract with a fire agency when realistically they're working themselves out of a job? Have you seen this happen, and how does that work?
Have I personally seen it happen? No. Have there been cases of, I'll call it divorce for lack of a better term, of fire service shared relationships in the state of California? Absolutely. I think we said words to this effect during the regional consolidation meeting. If consolidate, and if I didn't say this, I need to say it now, back on the consolidation question. If consolidation was easy, you would see dozens or 100-plus consolidated fire agencies in the state of California. You don't. In fact, the track record is the reverse. There are some consolidations, and then for political or cost inequity issues, they dissolve after a few years. So there is a roadmap, there is experience in the state to dissolve from one provision of fire services and evolve into something different. Contract, consolidate your own, don't care, pick one, doesn't matter. One thing, though, that gets lost at the juncture all these communities are in, and it's happening right now in the San Mateo Peninsula in a dissolution situation. The longer any decision takes, the affected employees and their families are left in limbo land. Consolidation will affect people staying, promoting, hiring on to any of the five city agencies while a question is being called. Just like contract or city-only fire services affects the lives of the employees, the families, what kind of career and family map they make for them.
Lose their job. In CDF, because it's a statewide agency, if you decide to divorce from CDF, either because you want to set up your own department or because you want to consolidate, nobody loses their job. CDF is huge. All of these people continue to be employed, and they will be employed someplace in California, more likely close here. CDF has that advantage so that they do not look at divorce in the same way that two close agencies that we're dealing with would look at it. This is just one of 30 or 40 contracts for suburban-urban style service that they have in California, and they can move into them, they can move out of them. I've never seen CDF try to take over service and never seen them try to hang on to it because they have a different mentality. And so I don't, frankly, were you contracting with a neighboring agency and we're facing this problem, I'd say, you know, this is a serious problem. We got to think through this. With CDF, I think that's if I had to divorce either through consolidation or setting up my own department, they would be probably the better choice of the people to be divorcing.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay. I just have one or two questions. When you talked about incident commanders, you said that captains were not qualified to be incident commanders?
It depends on the level of certification, the level of the emergency, and whether they are the initial incident commander or have the depth of training and experience to operate a major emergency for the entire duration of the emergency incident. Let me give you a scenario. Any fire truck anywhere in the state of California with a career captain on it, not just Pismo Beach. Somebody has to be the first to the fire. One local fire captain, the first due fire truck, is first on scene. They have two choices, to take command or to pass command. They make a tactical decision. If they need to rescue life, immediately start fire attack, they can pass command to the second due fire truck, or they can take command. Second due cannot pass command. Second due has to plant their feet and talk to dispatch, talk to other incoming units, and start to assemble the larger team because this is a sizable emergency. Now, when that second in captain or the first in captain assumes command, they're not handling hoses, ladders into the burning building. They're out in the street in a command sense. if that incident went to mutual aid, to greater alarms, to a catastrophic fire, that person, depending on where they're at in their career timeline, may not have the training or career experience to deal with it for the next 3 hours. That, if that helps you, that's the distinction. And it also depends on the person. That person could be a captain with 12 months of being a captain. That person could be a 15-year veteran captain on the chief officer list and could be ready for promotion to chief officer. So you have that whole variety of skill set on the continuum.
Okay, thank you. Mike?
Yeah, that would be nice.
So that'll take us to 616. And
those wishing to speak to council, if you'll fill out a speaker card in the back of the room and hand them to the city clerk, she will give them to the mayor for you to speak. Thank you. Okay, we're back in session. Okay, the first card I have is Mary Lee Heineman. A lot of new cards. Anyone else that wishes to speak, please fill out a speaker's card.
Mary Lee Heineman, Shoreline Drive. Madam Mayor, I'd like to clarify Ms. Higginbotham's question to our consultants. If they'd be more specific, please. Did I understand you to say you did not ask or interview individual existing firefighters in your seeking what's going on with the folks? It sounded like you did combined, but not individual meetings with the existing firefighters. Is that true?
We met with groups of 2, 3, and 4 and received individual phone calls and emails from individual firefighters.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. John Stillwell.
Madam Mayor, Council, John Stillwell, Pismo Beach. Arlene talked about hiring a consulting firm. In my previous career, I did a lot of consulting, and I never recommended one way or another as far as a contract. As a result of a consulting firm, normally from my experience, you put out the pros and the cons of both parts of it and give it to the body that's going to make a decision on it to make the decision, not recommend one way or another. Mm-hmm. I think what I heard Bill say, that the city council is between a rock and a hard place, and he doesn't feel good tonight. Okay. I think one of the things we are as a city, we're very unique as far as a city, too. 7 miles long, very narrow, with an ocean on one side, and a whole bunch of hills that CDF does a very good job of keeping fire off on this side. Okay. When CDF has been a that's one of the things I heard out of this recommendation. They've done a very good job, CDF, for us as far as the fire department and all by ourselves. Now, because we're a rich little community with a great TOT, everybody wants to consolidate with us to get a fire department. Well, I would tell them, Oceano, you've got your problems with your fire, and so do you, other cities. We're very happy with our fire department, and we should keep our fire department to us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Rick Turton.
I'm Rick Turton, 474 Bellow. This is a tough issue. You know,
It's very divisive, and I've got relationships with people which I perceive on both sides, so it's really tough to be up here. But, you know, anyway, we got to kind of make what's the best decision for Pismo Beach. Don and I have done our due diligence. Don will be up after me probably now tonight. But one of the things that we did was read everything that we can get our hands on. This is just part of it here. And what we find out is there's kind of three issues in this thing. Is stay consolidated with CDF, pull out a CDF, get our own fire station, pull out a CDF, get our own fire station, and then consolidate with the South County. One of the things that we did do that was really important, I think we were lucky enough to call a meeting with the fire chief and the battalion chief. And during the 2 hours, we put everything on the table. No far, you know, just every question that we could think of, we threw out there. One of the things I came away with is we're already consolidated. You know, we're consolidated with 22 other fire stations right now. Another thing here, Shelley, is what we learned, too, is CDF is responsible for, hopefully I get the number right, over 90% of the shoreline, coastline of San Luis Obispo County. Not only our little sandy beach and our little bluffs, but up to some serious cliffs up north. So, you know, they do have, I think, the training for those kinds of things. Also of interest, and I can't remember whether it was Dan or Mike that brought this up, but they serve Pebble Beach and La Quinta, who has all the money in the world, and they chose CDF. You know, so for that's an interesting point when you come down to look at it all. Now, my opinion is that, and this is also going to be really hard, Bill, in 3 minutes. You know, you and I have talked about it before. I mean, we got to, you know, it'd be nice to workshop on this, but I'll try to do the best I can. I think the issues would be the same whether we're consolidated with 22 other fire stations or five fire stations. You have the same issues. You know, you're going to have fire chief, battalion chiefs, and, you know, the classic downside issue of consolidation is loss of local focus, local control. The classic upside is that you've got the level of training, you've got an experience of command personnel that you wouldn't have if you were just a standalone. The focus of our meeting pretty much was these issues of, you know, the upside and the downside of consolidation. So we took a hard look at it, and I'll pick on Mike for a second, our battalion chief. When you really look at his resume, that resume is really impressive. He's a master trainer in the state, and I could read it off, but don't want to embarrass Mike. But, it, you know, and that was really important for us to figure that out, if the level of training that we would have. Not to pick on Mike again, but what would our battalion chief under consolidation decision? I mean, we got that time frame now. I've got my opinions, and I'd like to express them further, you know, from all the data that we've done, but the beeper went off. But thanks.
Okay, thank you. Kathy Mendoza.
Hi. Pardon my appearance. I was just dropping off Christmas cookies and found out this meeting was tonight. I just want to relate a story of a man who paid to go to a doctor because he was sick, and the doctor subscribed some medicine for him. And he went home and was thinking about, should I take it, should I not take it? And the whole point of going to a doctor and paying for a doctor visit is because you have faith in him that he's going to give you good advice. And I feel that your consultants are giving you good advice. You paid good money for them, and they've done a lot of study, and I believe that consolidation is the best thing for the five cities. I think it's a very hard step financially. One of the things in the report mentioned that, well, all of the Pismo firefighters who were here voted to go to CDF, but they didn't really have a choice to vote against it. Economically, it was going to happen. And if they voted against it, they were voting against their future bosses. And so I know for me, although I have to say I have a great respect for Chief Turner and Chief Pisano, they treated me wonderfully as they were going through the beginning stages of the conversion. I guess my point is just that I believe in consolidation no matter how hard it is. And if you know it's the right thing to do, just do it.
Thank you. I'm sorry. No.
I know, but are you a firefighter or?
Could you come back up here and tell us who you are?
An address or anything.
I was a previous office assistant before Michelle. I'm not a citizen, so I don't get to vote for you, but it's interesting to me.
Thank you. David Hillman.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Council. My name is Dave Hillman. I'm the region chief for the Department of Forestry. My area of responsibility is basically everything south of the Tehachapis and San Luis Obispo. I've been in this job just a little over 5-6 months now. Previous to that, I was Dan Turner's counterpart in Tulare County. I was the CDF Tulare County Fire Chief for 5 years. And it's always been the direction of our unit chiefs, such as Chief Turner, that if we have a little contract or a big county contract, I had a pretty sizable one in Tulare County, that we would meet the needs and the wishes of the county or city jurisdiction. Within the county of Tulare, I had the city of Exeter, one fire station, about 12,000 people, and they had all the direction they needed and wanted to apply to me as to what they wanted. I wanted to tell you that there absolutely is no conflict between your firefighters here today and whether we're here in a year or not. The CD, they could not pay the bill. They were irritated about the dramatic increase in the costs, and they wanted to express a little more control over their contract and their destiny. So the process right now is to make that happen. When I was in Tulare County, my commitment was, you tell us what you want to do with your county fire department, and we'll help you make it happen. And that's Chief Turner's commitment to you. I support that commitment. So whatever direction you want to go, we'll make it happen. I want you to know, though, that we are very proud to be your fire department. You've got some of the best firefighters around, and I'll take them person for person up against anybody out there. They're excellent.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and I agree.
Don Day.
Don Day, 101 Park Place, Pismo Beach, Madam Mayor.
Whoops.
Just my personality. What can I say?
A lot of static.
Very scratchy.
Is it the gum? Gotta save it.
Arlene's gonna like that.
No, I don't have a pacemaker. Don Day, 101 Park Place, Pismo Beach. Madam Mayor, members of the council. Rick hit on most everything that I would have brought up. One thing that I would say, though, is I think that the 12-month clause is important, the escape clause. The other thing that I bring up is that if you review some of the documents that Rick and I reviewed and you look at what CDF brings to the table in the way of training ability, expertise by a very group of people that can provide training, that's all valuable and would be very difficult for a small community like us to replicate if we can go into consolidation.
Hello?
Okay, am I on? Okay. So the point I'm making is they bring a tremendous amount of expertise and experience because they're such a broad-based group. We've looked at the numbers. I'm not sure we can do better financially than we're getting now. We might be able to, but it's going to be close. And I think when you compare apples to apples and not apples to oranges, you get a very good bang for the buck. We have disagreements between professionals here, between firefighters. And let me put it on a level that I think we can all equate to. Many times this council, who are good, qualified, well-intentioned people, vote 3-5, 3-2. There is many times in this community a difference of opinion, not to say that the minority is necessarily wrong. They're just in the minority, and they have a difference of opinion. I think we may be seeing some of that at this point. Some of the numbers that I have is if it's not broken, don't try to fix it. We can limp along, if you want to call it that, and maintain the status quo that we've experienced so far, give ourselves an opportunity to evaluate this properly, do our due diligence, put pencils to the numbers, but not do it in a roughshod manner or under undue duress and make a bad decision. With the 12-month clause, even if we gave them a 5-year, we're not really in reality giving CDF anything more than 12 months. And I think you need to be cognizant of that, because I think that's extremely important. It gives us a window of opportunity to be professional, to do our due diligence, to look at this, to evaluate it, and not be under the pressure. Thank you.
Thank you. This one does not have an agenda item. I'm going to assume it's 6A. Paul Goldberg.
Madam Mayor and council members, my name is Paul Goldberg. I'm the president of Pismo Beach Firefighters Association. Thank you for the opportunity to speak before you this evening. I stand before you not only as the president of Pismo Beach Firefighters Association, but also as a representative of all its members. For the record, the Pismo Beach Firefighters Association is an independent organization whose members have remained employees of Pismo Beach and are often referred to as the City of Pismo Beach Firefighters. The history of our organization has primarily been dedicated to community causes, including organizing an annual holiday toy drive, donating to the Elise Ann Roush Byrne Foundation, and many other community organizations. Although we have traditionally been a service organization, we have elected to take a very unique and bold step in expressing our opinion regarding the potential consolidation of fire services within our communities. By expressing these views, we fully understand that there may be political or professional ramifications brought forth by those who may disagree with our beliefs. We can only ask those who may disagree with our position to provide us with the same respect that we would provide them. The Pismo Beach Firefighters Association would like to go on record in strong support of the consolidation of fire protection and emergency services within the Five Cities area. Although there may be challenges at the outset of this endeavor, we believe that the long-term efficiencies and improved service levels will far outweigh these short-term challenges. The members of the Pismo Beach Firefighters Association strongly urge all council members to support this concept. In the event that this concept is not supported by council members of our communities, we strongly urge the City of Pismo Beach council members to return the Pismo Beach Fire Department to an autonomous organization. We, the members of the Pismo Beach Firefighters Association, believe that the citizens of Pismo Beach would benefit and can best be served by our continued commitment and dedication through an independent fire department solely dedicated to our local community. On behalf of the Pismo Beach Firefighters Association, I'd like to thank you for your time this evening.
Thank you. Next card I have is Art Anthony.
Madam Mayor, honorable council members, Art Anthony, I live on Coral Court. I've read the City Gate reports, both of them, and I watched and listened to the public hearing that you all attended and that they managed at the County Government Center on the 16th of November. Considering my advanced age, it should not be surprising that this is not the first time that I've been through a drill like this one. Because of the many know and think now of what we know. As to the CDF contract, their supplemental report is very clear. Our city is best served by staying with CDF when all facets of fire and disaster protection services are considered. They properly emphasize the real need in today's world and that of tomorrow for experienced leadership above and beyond that required to put down a structure fire. If you read and studied the executive summary on page 1 of the supplemental report, which is this agenda item, and absorbed the 3 paragraphs at the bottom of page 11 under overall impressions, you know what I'm talking about. I've seen a lot of firemen in action during the years I was on the council down in Irvine and here in Pismo Beach. We had a good fire department, a good local fire department, before we hired on with CDF. We now have an excellent fire department, in my opinion, I've watched them from the vantage point of our home on Coral Court, looking down at Highway 101, where there are a lot of accidents. There were many more just a year or so ago before Caltrans did a couple of things. But I've watched our CDF people over the last 3 or 4 years deal with those accidents, many of them multiple automobile. And I'm looking at them through my binoculars because the old eye bones don't see too well without them anymore. They do an outstanding job, and I hope they will continue to do that for us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Maybe I have one more card. I thought that was the last one. This doesn't have an item number on it either, but I'm going to assume. Joe Crescioni?
I'm Joe Crescioni, 1326 Costa Brava. The issue before us this evening actually has nothing to do with personalities. The professionalism is not being questioned here at all. The services that we are receiving right now is perhaps the thing that's at balance. And I want to make it perfectly clear that I am here because I believe in the consolidation program. And so I'm going to be a little... And so consequently, I'm concerned about what is going to be happening. Now, I've heard some questions about the contract. Now, I happen to have signed that contract when I was the mayor at that time. And if I recall, that contract was very clear in my mind in reading it, not as an attorney, that the day that the city said that they no longer wish to have the services of CDF is when the 12-month period begins. Not as being discussed right now that you only have 6 months to go. That concerns me, that you are being misled now. It is your decision to make, and you're being misled, unless I misread the contract. And I know because I did read it before I signed it. So, I wrote a couple of little things here that I would like to discuss. It got me to thinking as to what is it that needed to be looked at. First of all, you have to understand that every bit of this information was given to the consultant by CDF. Okay? So, and frankly, as a former department head working with the state, I used to give my consultants all the information because they would give me the information that I wanted them to tell me. Okay? So, so I know you've heard this before. I'm from Sacramento, and I'm here to help you. Okay? There's another old saying. Fooled once, shame on you. Fooled twice, shame on me. Okay. Remember, I was fooled. And I don't intend to have our community be taken advantage again. Now, why is it that this is being pressured onto you before you actually have a meeting with the rest of the sister cities in the area? This I don't understand. You have the time. The contract is very simple, very, very specific as to where we are.
Mr.
I know my time is almost up.
Yeah, it's up, but you want to make your important points real quickly.
Well, okay. My point is that there are too many little elements here that really need to be looked at. One of them, of course, is the promise that was made to us that the Shell Beach station would be monitored at all times. Well, a very quick analysis of it is not true. Now, when somebody tells me something that's not true a couple of times, I immediately have to really start investigating the rest of the story. I have here a chart that I put together from information, and I would like to very much put this chart on the overhead.
You're going to have to make it very quickly because I didn't allow other people that much time. So just do it very quick.
Believe me, I understand.
1 minute.
This chart tells the whole story.
1 minute.
We were told that the Shell Beach, well, okay. We were told that the Shell Beach station would be covered all the time. Yet, I find that from June of 2002 to December of 2004, that for 355 times, the station was left unattended for 30 minutes or more. During that very same time, that station was left unattended for 3 hours or more for 116 times. Then that very same station was left unattended for 15 hours. I mean, in a 24-hour period, 15 times.
Okay, your minute is up.
My minute is up. As a Shell Beach resident, I am very, very disappointed.
Could you furnish us that information, and we'll make a copy of it for all of us, and we'll have it then?
I definitely intend to do so.
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, I have them all right here.
Thank you. Okay, I have no more cards. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I'm going to come back to the council. Is there any comments or questions that the council has? Councilman Natoli.
Just a minute here.
Do you want me to move on to someone else?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, come back to me.
Okay. Councilwoman Higginbotham.
Thank you. I want to compliment Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-G because when we started to go through the process of an RFP and then choosing a firm, I wanted to lowball. There was a firm coming in at like $23,000, and I thought, okay, yeah, we're going to do that. That sounds good. I want to save the city some money. But the three finalists, the most expensive and the cheapest one, in the resumes had clear ties to CDF, and Mayor Pro Tem said, nope, it is worth the money. We're going to spend these extra dollars because we don't want the public to come back and say there were biases. And here we are, $60,000, $70,000 later, and it's unfortunate that, and I so compliment you because that
Thank
is
you.
The right decision.
Thank you.
But now I'm disappointed because the reports come back, and it's not what people wanted to hear. And so That's disappointing. These gentlemen, I think, did a great job. They did what we asked them to do. And anyway, enough said with that. I have a copy of Exhibit D from the contract with the City of Pismo Beach, and it states really clearly why we're in this situation. And part of the reason why we're in this situation is the council sent staff back because we didn't like the original people to do the consolidation report. We sent them back to put another RFP out. So that took another block of time. So I don't think we ended up choosing until late June our consultants. So I think that was part of the delay. But the contract clearly states, and it's signed by the city with regard to the 6 month to the year notice. And if we don't sign the contract, it's basically giving them their 1 year notice. And that's why we're in this boat. And that's all I have to say right now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Councilman Natoli.
We're not here this evening to give a contract to anybody. That was pulled off the agenda. And all we're talking about here is we're going to receive the report, discuss it, give direction to city manager. Okay, the report's good, Mr. City Manager. Very good report.
Thank you, sir. And you're absolutely correct.
But we are in no position right now to make a decision like that. So I think that we should move on, and let's get to the next item, because we're wasting time here. We know it's a good report. Really like. And by the way, I like the idea that you guys, when you put your work statement out, that you have a code of ethics, you know. So that's why I really liked your presentation. So I have a lot of trust in you, your firm. Okay. But I think we should just move on and accept the report as it was done and let it go at that.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-Gee.
Well, I would have to agree somewhat with Councilmember Natoli that we're not voting on anything this evening. It's just for information. And one thing I just wanted to comment is I thought that one of the statements you made was that consolidation, in your report, consolidation is your preferred recommendation. So, correct?
That's correct. In the first report, let me add something. Every time you do a job, you learn nuances of how to explain something better and better and better in your build. Consolidation is the most cost-effective option to run a 5-station or smaller fire agency. It's not the best option. It's not the only option. It happens to be the most cost-effective option. So, yes, from a cost-effective perception, camera angle, as it were, it's the best way to size fire services to stretch the 5-city area dollars. You can have 4 independent fire departments. You could have 2 shared departments. You could all contract out and everything in between. Your local choice.
Okay. Okay, and then I wanted to expound a little bit on what Councilmember Hickenbotham said about if this council decided to give CDF notice, they would still provide 12 months of service. Correct, City Manager?
Yes, ma'am. If we have a contract with them and we can, then we could sever it and give them notice and they would be here for 1 year. That's correct.
Okay.
Or,
okay.
I mean, you could choose it. Yet the minimum is 1 year. You could say be here for 14 months and then say goodbye to them. But it's
okay.
Minimum is 1 year.
Okay. And I wanted to clarify that simply because we're not here. CDF has just done a wonderful job. I have nothing against CDF. I mean, I think we should either consolidate or all these cities should go CDF, one or the other. You know, I think they've done a wonderful job. That's not a problem. The problem is this council asked to have a report on consolidation and then also roundtable with the other cities to see what direction we should go in. And it just seems like everything is moving so slowly. So I think this report and direction would be let's get this roundtable conference with the other cities behind us so we move forward.
Right.
Thank you. That's all I have right
Thank
now,
you.
Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much. Councilman Mabinow.
Well, you know, it's interesting to listen to all the different perspectives. One of the things that I'd like to clarify in my own mind is that when our trusted consultant said that there's a could be a divorce or however you see, I don't look at it that way at all. It isn't a divorce. I still very much like CDF and their employees. But it's a philosophical change that needs to be addressed today, and we need to move forward. You know, Pismo Beach, as it sits today, in a South County community, is fractured. We've got a Royal Grande and Grover Beach trying to pull together their consolidation efforts, if you will. But Pismo Beach is not in that loop other than automatic aid and mutual aid. You see, what I believe needs to happen is that we must consolidate. We must have a meeting with the other entities that we may consolidate with. We should not, and I'm glad that we are not, entering into any contract decisions until we get a feel for, could this go forward? If it could go forward, then I believe that we should take it forward. If it doesn't go forward, well, then we can certainly make an intelligent decision as a city council, but we can't do it until we have that meeting. And I was furious to think that that contract was coming before us without having the opportunity of that meeting. Once that meeting takes place, then I feel that I will be able to make an intelligent decision. Nobody's fooling me. I know that we can't put together a South County Fire Department in 6 months, 1 year, maybe even 2 years. You know, I believe strongly that we are going to have to enter into another agreement with CDF. But I would not enter into that agreement if we did not have that 12-month out clause, because that's important. And as Chief Turner and other CDF employees at a management level would say, you know, they are career professionals. They would not want to see the city of Pismo Beach without a fire department. It's not personal. You know, this is where my philosophy just takes over, and the way we are today, the Coastal Commission has given us a 35-foot height limit, downtown as an example. Well, that is not going to last forever. As we talk about density and we talk about some of the things that must happen as a South County, we're going to be going up. We're going to be going up beyond 35 feet. Now, if we as a standalone department need to reach that, we've got to buy our own ladder trucks. We have got to buy everything on our own. I don't believe that that's the way to go. Rio Grande has a ladder truck right now. I think we should co-locate. I think that we should come together as a South County and build a fire station, but build a fire station that also has a training facility built into it. You know, we would all, and I believe that we all speak the same language anyway, you know, the codes and the 10-4s and all that kind of stuff, I think are pretty standard.
3 minutes.
Sorry. Give me 3 minutes. That was a joke. I know. I know that it was. So, you know, you see, now you made me lose my train of thought. And it's that darn medicine you gave me. But I thank you. I do feel a little bit better. Where was it? What was it?
You're talking about bigger buildings downtown.
Okay, the bigger buildings in downtown and those things like that.
Buildings.
Okay, okay. Now
I listen to you.
Right, I understand. I appreciate that. God knows. But what we need to do is become part of this South County. You know, 40% of our calls today go out of Pismo Beach. You know, what we need to do is we need to bring it all together under one. What I have a question of for the consultants right now is that the South County is now larger than the city of San Luis Obispo, population-wise. What I would like to see happen is that if we charged every member of that population $45 on their tax bills or whatever, that gives us $2.2 million, a little over $2.2 million. It relieves our general fund of at least $1.3 million for infinity. Based upon those figures and what we're currently paying, we could pay for every resident's inclusion into a South County Fire Department. It's not going to cost our residents anymore because we have the money. You know, we'd be spending a little over $400,000 a year versus $1.6 or $1.8 million a year. So we would be able to pay for our residents' inclusion in this fire district. Now, is that something that is achievable?
When one of the issues you're going to have to deal with in consolidation is how to pay for it.
Absolutely.
Because you have really an unequal economic ability among the various agencies.
I'm not talking agencies. I'm talking the populace.
And the first thing that's going to come up is there a way of equitably spreading the cost in a manner that, regardless of the ability of the various agencies to pay, that the residents are bearing the cost equally for the service that they're receiving. And you can form a district.
Okay.
And within those boundaries, you can, and there are the technical ways of going about it. It's, you can do a benefit assessment, which is a certain kind of a vote. You can do a direct special tax, which is a different kind of vote. Essentially, that goes to an approval of the residents. And it would create then a separate funding source.
Absolutely.
And you could set that to pay 100% of the cost. You could set that to pay for only the cost which is in excess of what you're already contributing, any one of these different varieties of formulas. But I believe that that is about the third place you're going to be in talking about consolidation is how do we pay for this? Because coming together, one of the things we talked about in the report is there are some extra costs involved because you will be improving the level of service. So there will be those extra costs.
I understand.
And then there's the equity. And yes, it's possible. You draw the boundaries, and there are several mechanisms that you can
use in order to put that in place. You see, that's where my mind takes me. You know, I would like to reduce our general fund expenditures by $1.3, $1.6, or $1.8 million, whichever one of those figures up there you choose to want to deal with. You know, when we initially went into this in 2001, it was my great hope that CDF was going to come in, use Pismo Beach as a model, go into a Rio Grande, Grover Beach, Oceana, and that was my hope in the beginning. It didn't work out that way. But now I believe with the amount of money that we have spent on this, it does show that there is a financial means to an end, if you will, informing it the way that I would like to see it formed. And I've already spoken with other councils about that very thing. They're very, very interested in that, you know. And then one of the things that I thought was real interesting about Rick Turton or Don, you know, that Chief Harkness is a master trainer or something like that, we'll offer him a job, you know. We'll bring him right over with us. Instead of going that direction, let's hire some of these CDF people back if they're so darn good. You know, so there are measures we can take to make things. Mr. Turner, we'll bring Turner over too.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, thank you.
I think that we're at the end, and we have a couple of choices here just to receive the briefing, discuss the report, which I think we've done. But we have one more choice. We can provide direction to staff. And I think what I heard each of us say, that we want to have this round table.
Right.
So I think we can include here direction to staff to go ahead and set up the round table.
But Madam Mayor.
And we need to do this. Pardon me?
That looks like include 6B as well.
And that's part of 6B, actually, too. I think we could do it here and there. I think all of us agree that we want to go ahead and set up the round table, and I understand that Arroyo Grande wants to meet with their own people first, and I know that they can't meet until the end of January, so it's probably not going to be till the last part of January that you can accomplish that. But I think we need to officially give you direction to do that, because all of us have that desire. So
thank you.
We'll
do
it in this item and in the next item. How's that?
Well, Madam Mayor, I find that unacceptable, that Arroyo Grande wants to wait until the end. I believe that you, as our mayor, should have a talk with Tony and say, look, we have got some circumstances that we are dealing with, and we need to move forward on this thing.
Council Member Rabineau, I think I heard that they're not having a meeting as well.
That's
the first
week of
they're dark.
So it would be the
well,
second.
Well, you see what's happening is going to be another 6 months. You know, and I'm tired of government doing that to the people. It goes on, and we never get into any conclusions, and I'm beginning not to feel well, so I'll be quiet.
They're dark also, and this was the first chance that they had to put it on their agenda. So I did talk to Tony to try to get that at an earlier time, and we couldn't. So
now, do you know the date of their council meeting?
I think you had that date, didn't you?
Yes, ma'am. It's January 24th.
January 24th is their meeting.
It'll be on their agenda, right?
Okay. So then after they've discussed it, then we could set something up just shortly after that, no matter which way they decide.
Correct.
Okay. Because if they don't want to have it, then we'll have it with Grover Beach and whomever wants to have it with us.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Do you need a motion?
Okay.
It's
a consensus, and that's you've got your direction.
I've got
so
it. Thank you.
We will move on. I just have one more question. The question that Mayor Pro Tem asked about the 12-month notice. I thought I saw the city attorney shake his head. So I want to see there's a difference of opinion.
No, I was thinking of something else, specifically the current contract, not something that you would go into a future contract on the 12-month. What I was looking at was the language of our existing contract. So it was something completely different. I was thinking of something different, and it's a bad habit of me to shake my head up and down or left and right. John Brown called me out on the carpet for that when he was mayor at one point. He says, see, the city attorney's nodding his head.
But I wasn't sure if you qualified that. You said if we have a contract, that there would be a 12-month notice.
What we have right now is the existing contract. Face page of it says, the term of this agreement is July 1st, 2004 through June 30th, 2005. We're in the one-year extension period. State has, under the extension of agreement, it says if local agency fails to provide such notice, and this is a notice of whether it intends to enter into a new agreement post June 30th, 2005, then the state can extend it for a year. We're in that automatic extension period right now.
Well, Madam Mayor, which causes me concern, is it true what the consultant said?
Right.
That Chief Turner will now start pulling people out of the area?
He will not start pulling them out, but under state law, mm-hmm. he's obligated 6 months prior to the expiration of that one-year period
mm-hmm.
to provide the city notification of what the demobilization would be. And Chief Turner can probably speak to that.
Okay. Madam Mayor, Council, we're actually getting on to item 6B. Which
okay,
there's a
so let's move on
for.
To 6B. Okay, 6B.
Okay, thank you. Item 6B.
Turner had to say, eh?
He's going
to
come back.
He's going to talk about it under 6B.
Chief Turner's going to come up on item 6B.
I thought he was leaving. Yeah, we haven't given
it's
him
the notes. Same. Okay.
Okay.
6B.
Item 6B is just, it's a status report to the council on our present contract with the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection. It is not a request to extend the CDF contract. I say again, it is not
right.
a request to extend that contract, but it is.
A
I just wanted to give
report.
You some details of where we are in that contract. Okay. Back on October 1st of 2001, the council then entered into a three-year contract with CDF. The city manager, as you all know, council directs the city manager to sign contracts. The mayors don't sign those contracts. At that time, Mike Fuson signed the contract on October 1st of 2001. That contract expired, and last January, you authorized myself to then sign a one-year contract with CDF, and that one-year contract went from July 1st of, let's see, of 04 through June 30 of 05, okay? So that contract, that one-year contract, ended on June 30th of 05. And as Mr. Fleischman just told you, we're into the 6 months into the automatic 12-month extension. So as of 1 July 06, in about 6.5 months, CDF will have no legal authority to provide any fire services to our city unless council takes action before then. As of July 1st of 06, the city has no authority to make any payment to CDF without further council action. And unless the council takes action fairly shortly, CDF is required by contract to issue a letter to the city declaring CDF's plans to reduce the level of services to our city so that as of 1 July, they will be out of here. So that's the reality of where we are right now in the contract. I'm not asking you to extend it. That's just where we are as a city. And I thought you should know that. Additionally, I've been asked a lot of questions by various council members as to the costs of various fire services, the CDF contract, the reserve firefighter program, operating and maintenance costs, what we put aside to replace fire vehicles, lifeguard operating costs, junior lifeguard program. So as an attachment, you see attachment one to the staff report. I won't read all those numbers to you, but all that is available to you by line items for last fiscal year, this fiscal year, and next fiscal year. And basically what it shows is the fiscally or monetarily what the CityGate briefers told us is accurate as far as the numbers that they looked at. Chief Turner, of course, is here. If you have any questions, I've also asked Susan West-Jones, our accounting manager, if you have any kind of questions about monies or something. She's here along with Deborah Garcia, our human resources officer. And Mr. Fleischman is also prepared to talk about the legalities of where we are in the contract. Any questions for me?
Okay. Councilman Natoli, do you have any questions regarding
not at all.
This? Okay. Do you want to make a comment at this point? Or
I'll wait.
Okay.
I'll save it. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem, do you have any questions?
You know, I don't. This has nothing to do with our contract, but I'm looking at the contract that was signed during Mike Fusen's time, and it says Steve Sunderland. So is Steve Sunderland here today? Oh, okay. Oh, I saw that name somewhere else then. Okay. All right. He's limited to the count again. Okay.
Okay. Councilman Rabinow, you have a question.
The only thing that I'd like to do is I would just like to have the fire chief now explain.
Okay. That's what he planned on doing. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, Dan Turner, I'm your fire chief. And it's an interesting situation I need to point out to you. David Hellman, the regional chief for CDF, was here and he spoke earlier. And there's a reason for that. In our contractual agreement that we have between CDF and the city of Pismo Beach, I'm contractually obligated to advise the city of Pismo Beach and act as your fire chief. If there's an appearance of a conflict where my advice or counsel to you, you may think that I instead would be leaning more towards CDF's purposes in the contract and provisions that the regional chief would represent CDF, I would represent the city of Pismo Beach. That's our contractual arrangement. Further in that contract, as Mr. Fleischman mentioned, as the city mayor, city manager mentioned, is that our contract that is in place today, the only active contract, expired on July 1st of this year. So we're currently in a 12-month takeover period. Watch out!
Woo! Whoa!
Now that we're all awake, the contract expired July 1st of 2005. Has a 12-month holdover clause. Also contained in that contract is if you choose to extend or you choose to terminate the contract, you need to give us 12 months' notice so we can go through all the personnel actions that are necessary to do that. We have to reduce the force. We have to hold positions vacant for those employees. It's a significant process to do that, and that's why we ask that in that contract. Well, the challenge that we're now 6 months into that 12-month period. And what it also
says.
what further states in our contract is when there's 6 months remaining on the grace period, I have to prepare and send to the city of Pismo Beach a notice that you've taken no action, that you've given me no direction, you've signed or taken into no consideration an intent to continue the contract. Absent that, I have to assume that you're not going to continue the contract because I only have 6 months left to demobilize my forces, which would have normally taken a year to do. I now have a six-month crunch time period to do that, which for me, what that means is in my other fire stations, I have to create...
Oh, that one's starting, I know.
I have to do hiring freezes. I have to start disrupting operations in the other 20 fire stations so I can preserve positions for those employees following the cessation of the contract on July 1st. As of July 1st, I have no legal authority whatsoever to do that. I cannot incur expenses for the sake of Pismo Beach's benefit because I have no way to collect those expenses. You have no way to pay me for those. We have no contractual level of service. There is no contract. It's parallel or tantamount to an insurance policy. You buy an insurance policy and you pay your premiums. If you stop paying your premiums, most insurance companies allow a grace period for you to catch up on your premiums for the insurance policy. If you don't pay your premiums, that grace period is if you have an insurance premium on July 2nd, your policy is not allowed. Even if you intend it, you wish to. And that's the situation that we will find ourselves coming to a lot. So I fully understand the dynamics of the roundtable process. I encourage you to do that. I am a firm member of regional consolidation. I did that. I've done it my whole career. I believe them. I know they work. It is a good solution, regardless of what model you take. You need to hold those discussions. It's very important that you do that. But it's also critical that you protect yourself. And that's my counsel to you as your fire chief. Need to protect yourself and the citizens to buy you the time to do your full study, your full due diligence in whether or not you want to do a consolidated model with your neighbors or you want to choose some other model, whether it be return to a Pismo Beach only fire department, stay with CDF. All of those things are your decision and we'll support you doing that. And CDF has, just as Dwayne mentioned, this is business to us. We do our business very professionally. We care very much about what we do. But if it comes to a point where you want to make a decision to sever our ties, I'll agree that's not a divorce. It's just a business decision to do that. And we will work our way through that process with you to get you into the best situation possible for you so that you move forward with the best fire protection. That is our mission as an agency, is to provide the best level of fire protection attainable for the community. This is not about us getting something or not getting something. It's about providing fire protection to the citizens of this state, whether it's through CDF or through some other means. We know how to do that. We've done it. We're good at it. I think the consultant reaffirmed that. I thank you very much for your kind words. But our point is we will help you get to where you want to go, but you have to make sure that we can do it for you. And that's the concern that we have right now, running up against a very, very difficult time frame. And I know it's complicated, and I know it sends a message of concern to your neighbors. I wish that that wasn't the case. You need to protect yourself, and I would encourage you to do that, to take that into consideration. And at the same time, tell your neighbors, listen, this has nothing to do with whether we have an intention to continue further in consolidation. It's merely paying our insurance policy until we decide to take on a new policy. That's what you need to do. You need to protect yourself. And that's my counsel to you as your fire chief. Protect yourself, and you do have it. You can renew a contract the next day. Give us 1 year notice, whether it's a 3 year contract or not, and we will move forward to move out of that contract in a year. We'll help you get through that process, but in 10 days, I have to start a demobilization process. In 10 days, well, I have to come up with a plan, and you're discussing January or February before you hold your roundtable. Well, now I've lost another month or 2 months, and as Councilmember Rabinow mentioned, government grinds on slowly. Well, when I reach a critical mass point, I have to act. I have to start taking actions, and I can't wait. And that's the challenge that I'm under here is you kind of, we're all in a box here, and unfortunately we're in a box we don't want to be in, but we're there. And,
we have to help ourselves get out of that box.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Ravenel, do you have any questions of the chief? Mayor Pro Tem.
I have a comment.
Okay.
Firstly, I like so much that you said that's your mission, and I appreciate that, and I think all the constituents appreciate that, that that is your mission to protect the city of Pismo Beach. And then secondly, so everyone will understand, if we decided, this council decided to put CDF on notice, it would be a 12 months that you would continue to provide service, correct?
Only if you have a contract that encompasses that entire 12-month period. If you gave me notice today, there's only 6 months and 10 days remaining in a contract authority.
Okay.
So you're in essence, you're giving me notice. You have constructively terminated the agreement now because I don't have 12 months left.
Yeah, and I don't think that was our intent. I mean, we wanted that round table, and I think we made that very, very clear.
Absolutely.
And that's all I have right now, Madam.
Okay, thank you. Councilwoman Higginbotham.
I've never said this sitting on the council before, but Councilmember Ravenel said he was furious a few minutes ago, and I'm furious to think that we would put the city at risk. It's frightening to me to think that we would wait and wait and play Russian roulette with public safety. I understand there's some problems with the CDF contract, and my hope is this council could sit down and work with CDF to work out some of those issues, but we have to have fire protection for this city. And we're running out of time. And our poor planning is not someone else's emergency. You know, we can't force Arroyo or Grover or anybody else to say, you know, we have an issue here. We're on a timeline. You guys, giddy up. We got to meet. It's not their issue. It's our issue. And look what happened in Los Osos. All those people trusted. They recalled. And look where they are. They may have to declare bankruptcy. The loan's getting called in. So we can't do that with public safety. And I want to have the round table. I want to move forward to consolidation. I want on July 1st, when somebody in the city picks up their phone, I want them to be able to get a fire truck there and to get protection. And that's what I want to see happen. So,
thank you.
We agree.
Councilman Natoli. Do you have any questions?
No, I have no questions, and I applaud his statements regarding his commitment to us to protect our city. And he's always been that way, and he's been very good at it. So, and I trust him. But that still doesn't solve our problem tonight. We're not here to give a contract tonight.
That's
right. So we have to stick to the agenda, and I say let's move on. And we'll have to reschedule talks about the contract as soon as possible.
Okay, I have some cards from the public. Don Day.
Oh. I shut off.
Yeah, it's off.
It's off?
It's on now.
Don Day, 101 Park Place, Pismo Beach. Madam Mayor, members of the council. I'm going to make a couple points. One, I think Dan's position was very clear, and I think this community just experienced the professionalism and the expertise that Mr. Turner and his staff bring to this. He explained it very clearly, very distinctly, and I think all of us understand where we are now. Some of us already knew, but I think others now know. I think, as Shelley alluded to, it's imperative that this council take action. At the first of the year, this community will be in a compromised position, let's say. We'll be going the wrong direction. I would heartily recommend that this community, this council, extend the contract. Nothing will change that we haven't already experienced in the last year. There doesn't appear to be a lot of money difference. In fact, if you look at it, there's a cost savings that's transpired between what was budgeted and what was actually expended. I think they've been frugal with our money. I don't think there has been exorbitant overruns. To the contrary, they've saved us money. That's what we like to see, some of us anyway. I have a problem with what goes on in this community and the other communities. I think it's pie in the sky to think that these three communities or four communities are going to be able to get together in a sensible manner and in a timely fashion and come up with some manner of which equitable participation. We're going to have personalities get involved. We're going to have people that say, you're not paying your fair share. Pismo, you've got all the extra money. You should pay more than your fair share. I think we're going to see a chaotic nightmare take place ultimately. I think it's unreasonable to think that Bill's going to be able to get the other communities to expedite to his schedule or to any of us to be able to get them to expedite it. I see 2 to 3, maybe even 4 years before we could possibly have something that we could even be seriously discussing. In the meantime, we need to protect the interests of this community. Right now, the best chance we have, I believe, is CDF. I think they've shown in the past that they're able to handle it. If we choose to go a different way, we're going to need time to do it. And by extending the contract as it's presently written, I think it gives us the most money or bang for the buck. They've proven themselves that they're able to competently handle it. It may not be perfect. I'm sure some of us have opinions that are different than others, but at least we maintain the safety and the protection for the public. Thank you.
Thank you. Vic Wright.
Good evening. I'm Vic Wright. Coming up here, I was thinking about when you had a speech class, they had gave you 3 minutes to make a speech, and it seemed like an eternity. 3 minutes up here doesn't seem like a heartbeat. I live next door to Station 1. I have been there for 30 years. I was a Pismo Beach volunteer fire captain. I was a seasonal lifeguard. I was a head lifeguard. So I have a little bit of knowledge of what goes on here. My concern at this point is that we have an issue that the consolidation is clouding, and that's the morale of these young men and women. As I said, I live next door to them. I talk to them daily. My wife is probably what serves as a station mother for those young men and women. She feeds them. She talks to them. She counsels them when they're having sad times. So we know them well, and I am worried about them because the morale, my visual and my talking to them, the morale has gone down. Excuse me. The chief here said that that CDF would do anything they would do to help us with that. My first suggestion to him is bring some of the people back to Pismo Beach that have been transferred out. Second of all, find out what these people's concerns are and try to satisfy them. Now, I realize in any organization you cannot do everything for everybody at once, but I do believe there are things over there in Shell Beach and Pismo Beach that can help the morale of these young men and women. As everybody said tonight, they're fine, young men and women. They are the cream of the crop, mainly because Pismo Beach has been able to attract them into the reserve system. Now, how's that working right now? I've been told recently that the reserve system is half of what it's designed to be. I've also learned recently that two more of our young men and women are going to Santa Maria within the next 3 or 4 weeks, dropping the reserve system even more. We've got to build that up so that we do have those. The chief here described how important the reserve system is to us. That's one thing I feel we need to work on. We need to get our people back. We need to raise their morale. And it's pretty obvious from the discussion I've heard tonight, we need to extend the contract, which I was against before I came here tonight. We need to extend the contract and start looking at our own fire department and then the consolidation, pretty much in that order. Thank you.
Thank you. Hardy Hearn.
I'm Hardy Hearn, here in Pismo Beach. I'm a 50-year-plus resident and business owner operator in Pismo Beach. I really think the best government is the government that's closest to the people they're governing, and I strongly believe that we should have our own fire department, our own Pismo Beach Fire Department. The consolidation, I think, would be a good idea. That would be still would be in our scope of control. I believe there's 6 cities in our county. None of the other cities have contracts with CDF, as far as I know. If CDF is such a wonderful outfit to run your fire departments, how come the other cities don't have them running their fire departments. I think CDF, their proper mission, I think, is not really running municipal fire departments. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mary Lee Hyman.
Mary Lee Hyman, 2141 Shoreline Drive. Madam Mayor, members of the council, option one for this item is give direction to staff, and that's where I save my comments about the direction. It's pretty clear you have three choices for providing fire services to our community: the single, small, independent, city-owned, the CDF, larger state organization, or three, the cooperative regional five cities, or what's termed locally now a consolidation program. To go the single, small, independent is going to be pretty hard to do. Isolation doesn't seem to be an option in this day and age for fire services. To go it alone is also a fiscal step backward. To go with CDF, they have well served us. The report is highly supportive and complimentary. We would have the benefits of a larger and stable organization, but we'd have the drawbacks and the loss of local control, both in fiscal and personnel matters. For a cooperative regional consolidation program, it would be supported by the Firefighters Association, and I thank them for giving their opinion on that this evening. And this is a direction recommended by CityGate, and it's clear there is some strong interest in the community to keep local control as much as possible. And going consolidated would keep the look and feel of local service. And it is in our interest to bring the whole region, all of our sister cities, up to the standards of today. Now, we recognize the difficulties in the past of consolidation. We all know these stories. But the area, our area, is slowly realizing how much we do depend on each other. The problem with this right now is it's an uncharted path. There are many things in the way. And as the CityGate folks said, we have to pursue the difficult political and cost inequities issues on pay, equipment, many things. And it would be a minimum of 1 to 2 years. So you can't commit to this uncertain plan for the present issue of fire services. I believe in regional cooperation. I think it's a great way to go. I see no negative in moving ahead and directing staff to draw up for signing a CDF contract. I suggest you direct staff to, as you suggested earlier, move toward the roundtable discussions and commit to explore all of these things. The chief is willing to let you do things like explore dispatch cooperation and many other baby steps that we would have to take toward this. But we have no guarantee of success, as you know. Thank you.
Thank you. I have one more card. Art Anthony.
Madam Mayor, Honorable Council, Art Anthony, I live on Coral Court. How to get out of this dilemma tonight in one piece? That's the question, I think. Your next council meeting is, if I've got it figured out right, January 17th, if you decide not to have the meeting of the 3rd. I don't see anything wrong with your directing the city manager tonight to place an item on the agenda for that next council meeting, which would give you a opportunity to say, renew the contract with CDF, do not renew the contract with CDF, or take some third option. That gives you an opportunity to be thinking between now and then about what you really want to do and also about the ramifications of that and how it would relate to your fellow council members from the other cities and Oceano's people when you meet with them in the roundtable, which I'm in favor of. I'm in favor of sitting down with them and talking about this. I think you're going to be disappointed, though. I like to associate myself with the remarks made by Don Day. I agree completely with Councilwoman Higginbotham. we should begin immediately to take care of the needs of the people of this city, not only the residents, but also the business people. Question, what's going to happen to insurance rates of all of our homes and businesses if the word gets out that we don't have a viable fire service on contract? Think about that a little bit. I hope you will do something tonight positive to keep this thing moving along and not just sit up there and worry about some political aspect of it.
Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to come back to the council. We've actually finished, I think, our discussion on this item.
I'd like to make another comment, Madam Mayor.
Okay, we keep it short?
Oh, very, very short.
Thank you.
It's just I've got to tell you, Arden.
Oh, is there anyone else in the public that would like to speak to this item? I'm sorry?
Where's the card? How are you supposed to know?
I had a card that actually said 6B.
Oh.
So I'm sorry.
Well,
and Don,
I missed it. I apologize.
And Don shoved me forward. But I have some pointed questions. Why are we not talking about the contract tonight? Okay. What went on that we're not talking about it? Because looking at the contract, there's a tipping point. That tipping point is in 10 days.
Yes.
Dan is going to be forced to do something in 10 days, I would assume, or he's going to start to do something. And then if we don't talk about it in the middle of January, where is Dan going to be? I'd like to hear a little bit more about him dismantling, I guess would be a good part of it, our current situation. You know, how can we drag our feet past this? We knew that this was a tipping point, that the January 1st was going to start us on this path, and we're not talking about it tonight. So I don't know why we evaded this situation. It's not helping everything out. If we could, at your request, Mayor, if you would go with it, is ask Dan where, you know, what's the progress of starting January 1st? What will he do or what won't he do? Where is he going to be in the middle of January? Where is he going to be by the time we maybe sign a contract at the end of February or middle of February or 1st of February? What's the status? What's the methodology that we're facing here? I'm really kind of embarrassed that we're pushing to this point. Now, whether we're going to go forward or not, we should have been having this conversation tonight or the last meeting or whatever, and why is it being put off again? Thank you.
Well, I am hearing some grumbles to the right. I don't think that they're in favor of going through all this evening. Do I have a consensus? Does anyone want, is there three of us that would like to hear the request? If not, we'll put it off until the next meeting.
Put off what?
It's unnecessary.
Well, I think it's, Madam Mayor, it's, you know, it's sort of the alarming our citizens when we have fire service till July 1st, not January 1st. We have fire service till July 1st. So, and one other person commented that I think we'll be disappointed with the roundtable. You know, I don't think any of you know what we haven't made any decision if we wanted to go that way or not. We just want to hear this. We just want to hear what the roundtable, the community has to say.
And I would agree with that. I think that there is some things to be learned at the roundtable. I think that's going to be a really important meeting for all of us. And I don't want to take away from that at all.
No. Regardless of how it turns out,
agreed.
Good, bad, or indifferent, at least
agreed.
We know.
No, yeah. I think there's some really good things to be learned from it. Mm-hmm. But I also share the concerns of Councilwoman Higginbotham. I think that we are kind of down to the wire. I think we need to think about renewing the contract. I think that even Councilman Natoli expressed that. I think we need to put it on the next agenda to have a discussion. Mm-hmm. What do we want to do with this contract?
Right.
I agreed to have it taken off this agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I do think it needs to go on the next agenda,
yeah,
which would be the end of January.
Right. Well, Madam Mayor, I'm the one that championed pulling it off the agenda, and I have no intention of bringing it back in mid-January. I have no intention of bringing it back until after the roundtable discussion is over. This is not the 11th hour. The chief knows very well what we're going through. He's not going to go through any extracurricular activity that he, you know, pulling people out, pulling fire trucks out. He's not going to do it. We have a contract, an extension of a contract till July 1st. If we entered into this thing on June 28th, we still have it. This council, I have not heard anybody say that they don't want to go into another contract with CDF. There is a methodology. There is there are things that need to take place prior to signing that contract, and that's the reason I was so adamant about pulling it off of this agenda.
Would you explain to me what that methodology is?
The methodology is that in order for us to make good decisions, we need all of the information that we can get. We have a big piece of the puzzle out there that we have no information about at all. Now,
but what does that have to do with protecting the community and having a contract for fire service while you determine a long-range plan?
But
for
it doesn't.
Community?
I had a conversation with our city manager and said not only would I support a contract decision after the roundtable, I would be an advocate.
Myself as well.
Well, of course. We need this time. And I still don't think that it's that it's anything that we can do in 6 months regardless. Everybody understands that. We've got 6 months of fire service. If we enter into a contract at the end of February, so what? I mean, it's not that something is going to go away. We are here till July 1. It is not the 11th hour. There's panic ensuing out there in some of the people in the audience, and it's ridiculous.
It's not a panic.
Then why do you want it on the agenda so badly at the next agenda? Why do you want it on there so badly? Explain that to me.
Go
ahead.
Well, I'm the one that's furious, so I'll explain.
Well, now I am, too.
Okay, well, we're even. I believe that I heard Chief Turner say that he is mandated that once on January 1st, he has to put things in motion. A methodology, just like you talked about. It takes time to put all of this together.
It's a plan that he has to put together.
Excuse me, I'm not finished. Oh, thank you.
You're right.
Thank you. And so what I'm saying is he also has to abide by methodology. And we don't have control over that. It would be nice if we did. So if he has to go through certain steps to start to decrease or demobilize.
No.
Only in writing, isn't it?
Councilmember Ravenel, please. I don't think you're being very respectful right now.
Okay.
I believe that we need to find out what steps are going. I believe this council, as well as the citizens, have the right to know the steps that CDF is going to take. I feel like we're playing Russian roulette, and I'm very uncomfortable not agendizing it.
Madam Mayor, if I could speak to the issue of the level of services, the contract specifically says, and I'll read it, 6 months prior to the date of expiration of this agreement, state shall give written notice to local agency of any extension of this agreement and any change in the level of fire protection services state will provide during the extended period. Services provided and obligations incurred by state during an extended period shall be accepted by local agency as services and obligations under the terms of this agreement. I think the ball is in CDF's court as to what work needs to be done. I can't say what their interpretation of the contract will be, but they're going to do what they need to do to comply with their obligations. And if that means demobilization prior to July 1st, that may be their interpretation. I can't speak for CDF on this, but I don't want the council to think that 11th hour decision on June 29th is going to be without consequence. There may be consequences, and that's really up to CDF. As to their interpretation of the contract.
Okay, I think that I need to probably ask the chief, how would you interpret that at this point?
Madam Mayor, members of the council, there are certain methodologies, as was mentioned, that we have to go through, one of which is just the legal process of processing a contract, and that takes several weeks to do. So my drop-dead date, if you will, is about February 1st. Because we can't get a contract processed and completely executed in place by July 1st. That means without absent a contract, we have no authority. So this 6 months is getting close to the 11th hour, Councilmember Ravenel. I don't mean to create panic, but my sincere in this is that it's getting close to the 11th hour. We're we are now 6 months into a 12-month process. That 12-month process is generally put in place because councils, boards do their budget hearings in typically in June and July. The contracts typically expire on the fiscal year, and it gives them a, gives a year for that contract process to go through its gyrations and age on the desk that it needs to age on to be fully executed and in place to continue that contract. It's a, that grace period is for that purpose. The one-year notification is for the purpose for us to go through and start demobilizing our forces. We have to go through layoff processes. Those are formal processes. We have to identify vacancies. We have to do hiring freezes. And those hiring freezes will affect someplace other than the city of Pismo Beach. They will start to have a trickle-down domino effect in the other 20 fire stations that I manage, because I have to start holding positions vacant to allow positions to be there should 6 months from now we fully terminate our agreement. And that means on July 1, we are not here. We are not here. So there's another piece of this that you need to focus on, is that we can be gone July 1st. You have a significant process to go through to get so on July 1st, you can have a system in place to protect your citizens. So we're approaching the 11th hour. June 28th, if I might, would not work. February 1st is getting, I'm getting very nervous because I don't know I can get it through the process. The contract you agreed to and approved January of this year, which was 6 months late, did not get signed and fully executed till June 20th of 2005, 10 days before it expired. So, do I get nervous? You bet. Because things go wrong. The world doesn't necessarily stop because Chief Dan Turner raises his hand and says, I need you guys to put aside everything else you're doing and expedite this agreement. They'll do the best they can, but we just entered into a contract. The County Board of Supervisors approved today with the community of Cayucas. Cayucas had an urgent issue. They lost their volunteer firefighters. They got transferred out of the area. They had no fire protection coverage. They came to CDF, asked us to help them. We cannot provide service without an executed contract. So I asked the county to step up to the plate and enter into an agreement with Cayucas to modify our existing county agreement to allow us the time to get a CDF agreement in place. And that's a 3 to 4 month process expediting it. So, Councilmember Rabinow, we're close. Maybe we're at 10:30, maybe not 11.
Yeah.
We're close. I mean, this is things that go beyond my control that I will work as hard as I can. There's only so much I can do. But we're real close.
Well, I almost feel like this should have been talked about at a staff meeting then, so that roundtable would have been put on...
You see, that's where everything has fallen apart. And actually, I still don't believe that it's fallen apart. I mean, again, I don't believe that this council is not going to do something. I know that we are. But you see, I can read the front page of the newspaper now. You know, Pismo Beach enters into 3-year contract with CDF, right? Then over there next door in Oceano, Grover Beach, well, where's the urgency from, you know, what now? Pismo's already entered into a three-year agreement. There is no urgency. I don't want – perception is reality in a lot of people's minds, and I don't want that to happen. If our process would have gone according to our plan, being council's plan, we would have been having these reports back in August – was when they were first promised, you know, and now all of a sudden we're brought up here to the end of December, and now all of a sudden it's a panic in some people's minds. It's not a panic, and even though I understand and appreciate exactly what you're saying, I think that that you're right, that it's around 10:30, somewhere around in there, in, you know, as we move forward in this. But there is
I'm finished. I think trying very hard not to be critical of what you just said. I think you kind of twisted how that came out.
Oh, please say it. I'm looking forward to this.
No, I'm just not.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The other thing that we've talked about is should the council move forward and sign a new contract with CDF, a lot of things that came up in the reports and in public comment could be addressed. They could be added to the contract, and we're not giving any time for that. So I think it's 11:15 if we're talking time. I mean, seriously, if we want to sit down at the table with CDF and say, okay, the council's decided we would like to renew a 1 year, 18 month, whatever the council wishes. However, there are some things that have come up as a result of this study that we would like to address and implement in this contract. How much more time would that take? That's the panic on my part. If we want to facilitate some change and learn from this report and learn from the people that have spoken, then we need to take action.
But I don't think anybody has said that we're not going to take action. That's that's the thing that surprises me about all of this. Do you think for a minute that the majority vote of the city council is going to leave the residents of our community high and dry with no fire service? I mean, how could you even?
Okay, then if we're not going to not going to take action, why the hesitation?
I just went over some of that. The perception is reality, and we need to go in there.
It doesn't have to be a three-year contract.
No, it doesn't have to be a three-year contract. But it doesn't matter if it's a 20-year contract. If you got a 12-month ability to stop it, you can make that contract 99 years. It doesn't matter. None of that matters.
Okay, I am going to ask that the discussion of the CDF contract go on to the next agenda. Do I have a consensus?
I would say yes.
No.
On the next agenda, what are
that
we
would be
about?
The
January.
third Tuesday in January.
17 January.
I think we should discuss it.
Okay.
I do think we have to discuss it.
Thank you. We have a majority consensus. Thank you.
I'll go ahead and put it on
Thank
the agenda
you.
Then.
Okay, the next item is six
stories about it. So as to be able to draft an ordinance that would suit both Pismo Beach's desires, but also withstand legal challenge. So what I did is in drafting the ordinance, I took the experiences of Monterey and the language of Santa Cruz's ordinance, which was challenged in the same litigation as Monterey, and put that together, set up a peer zone in the ordinance that is basically bounded by the two streets leading up to the parking lot, the mean high tide line, and the end of the city's parking lot, but also the boardwalk area, as well as the entire pier. I put in there exceptions for special events permit holders and those who hold leases with the city to cover situations like the bait shack. The recommendation is to introduce the ordinance for first reading. And if you have any questions about the process, I'll be happy to answer them.
Are there any questions, Councilman Tolwood?
No, I have no questions.
Councilwoman Higginbotham?
No, thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem.
I have none, Madam Mayor.
Councilman Ravenel.
No, I want to hear from the public.
Okay. I have two speaker's cards, and Bruce McFarlane.
Good evening again. I believe that this item here has a potential conflict of interest here. Mr. Ravenel, might have some interest in the T-shirt shop there at Fernando's Hideaway. The police chief has a T-shirt shop. The enforcement would seem like it's going to be beneficial. I don't have a dog in this fight. I just believe in whatever is right is right. And Mr. Ravenel was the one that's been pushing this ordinance up there. But it's funny. I was up earlier, and I was talking about the people putting tables and stuff out there on the street. And no one's, you know, there was a stink about that a while back. But all of a sudden, that's gone away. Now, this is the new stinker, okay? They're not taking care of this one ordinance. Now, what do you think, other than they're going to take care of this ordinance? There was a really great article by Cynthia Neff here. And many people have said that Bill and Tony at Fernando's Hideaway directed Commander Scott to go over there and close the Make-A-Wish Foundation's T-shirts down. Now, that's an abuse of power because this ordinance hadn't gone in effect yet. She still had her paperwork and stuff. She didn't bring it with her that day, but she still had her paperwork, and all of a sudden singled somebody out. The balloon guy went home. The poor balloon guy went home. He brought his paperwork back. You know, I was up here months ago asking about this charitable bit. And like I said, I don't have a dog. You do good for people and stuff. I'm not charitable. Like I said, you know, move them. But you might want to know, are they going to be able to go to the promenade? Is this what, are you just moving them out a little ways?
I'm going to try to answer a couple of those questions, or maybe I should refer it to the city attorney.
Well, with respect to the promenade, the ordinance specifically says that the pier zone also includes the entirety of the city pier and the length of the boardwalk extending from the city pier, so it would be prohibited on the promenade. I chose to use the word boardwalk simply because it has more generic meaning than the promenade, which
right.
may or may not remain that name forever.
Okay, and in terms of any conflict of interest, I think that, you know, Councilman Ravenel has to determine that himself, whether there's any conflict, and he would excuse himself if he felt there was one. And then I think that probably staff made notation of any other items that you discussed earlier, and I think that's why we didn't have any discussion on it. So thank you.
May I ask one question to the city attorney, or do you want me
sure.
to wait?
Can I ask
you
one question? Public.
Oh, I'll wait till the end.
Please do. Okay. Rick Turton.
It seems like I've been in this battle forever. You know, I've printed out other ordinances in the court hearings and stuff like that. I'll ask the council, but it's kind of going towards Dave over here.
Okay.
Get settled in there, but... Whose ordinance is this based on? Who did we clone to get this?
City of Santa Cruz.
The Santa Cruz ordinance? Mm-hmm. Yeah, how did we look in the face of all this? Is that one been stood up in court? I know I followed the Waikiki thing really close in the Seventh Court of Appeals and all that stuff. And so that's my question.
The history of this goes back quite a long way. I actually wrote a memo to the council on this issue back in 1996, right after the Honolulu case came out. And in that case, Honolulu basically had set up an ordinance where you couldn't do certain vending within a specific area of downtown Waikiki because they were having circulation problems and people weren't able to walk on the sidewalks and so on. That was upheld by the Ninth Circuit. More recently, City of Santa Cruz and the City of Monterey got sued by a couple groups that were saying that the Monterey and Santa Cruz ordinances, which had been based on the Waikiki ordinance, were unconstitutional, infringing upon their First Amendment rights. Ninth Circuit, District Court upheld the Monterey and Santa Cruz ordinances for the reasons that the city set forth. Very similar issues that we have here that Santa Cruz had, basically traffic circulation, competition with local businesses. Court said those are acceptable as long as you're being content neutral. You're not saying we're going to let some people speak and use this area and not others. I've made it content neutral. I've given a very specific area, and the question got raised while we were drafting this, well, where can these people go? Anywhere else in Pismo Beach?
Okay. Uh-huh.
If there's not a violation of a zoning code or some other code that's there, they can go anywhere else in Pismo Beach and do this. It's a specific area where we have a large concentration of people, where if you set up tables, you set up display merchandise and so on, it can have an impact on people walking. It can have an impact on public safety if an area is blocked and an ambulance needs to get through. So these are interests that the courts have upheld cities drafting. Being difficult in enforcement because you had the people setting up in the free speech zone, and then you had them hanging over the edge of the free speech zone, and it became an enforcement issue. So they just decided it's better to do it by exclusion. Set up something that I believe is very clear. I ran it past all the department heads to see if anyone was unclear as to what we were talking about, and we tried to draw lines, and I actually pulled up the Google Maps to see where it would occur, and I think it's a sufficiently well-defined area that people will know they cannot do it in this area, but they're free to, as long as they're not in violation of any other codes anywhere else in the city.
Madam Mayor, I just wanted to assure Bruce McFarland that I'm a big supporter of nonprofits, but if they all went out there every weekend selling something, I don't think you would like it. So, I think we're just trying to do what's great for the city, and it's just the best thing.
Madam Mayor? Yes. This has, you're right, been going on since 1996. Nobody has said a thing about it. When did I bring this forward? When I went down there, and every public bench that this city has put out there for our visitors is covered up with T-shirts that are for sale that are competing with our local business. I didn't say a word until greed came into the equation, and then I couldn't take it anymore. And Make-A-Wish is a wonderful foundation, but so is the Heart and Lung Association, and so is this, and so is that, and whatever. And to what degree do we need to allow that to happen on public property, and particularly when it's taken all of the public benches that are out there? I mean, I am very glad that I brought this thing forward, because I think that what we need to do is we start needing to define who this city is. Mm-hmm. And that is a public arena and a public area out there that needs to be protected, I guess, is probably the best word that I could come up with today. I also, Bruce, I did go to the police chief after the memorial services that morning, and I went to the police chief by myself. There was nobody else involved. I have no business relationship with Tony other than he works for me on an hourly rate. But I did go to our Commander Smith, and I asked him to go down there and ask those people to leave. Yeah, and were you with me? Did you go down there with me? Okay, and Shelley went with me as well. But the reason that I did that is that they were in violation of an existing ordinance. All that this ordinance does is tighten up our existing ordinance, because we have no street vending ordinance that's in place right now. That's why it's so amazing to me. I hope Mr. McFarland also remembers that I'm the one that brought forward about that downtown looks like Tijuana with all everybody's things for sale up and down the street, and wheelchairs can't get through and all of that. Give me a little bit of credit, Bruce. I mean, this whole thing cannot run amok, and I'm hoping that eventually we're going to get a code enforcement officer and help with this stuff, but until we do, until this council sees clearly as I do that what the city is turning into, it won't happen. They will someday. Thank you.
Councilman Natale.
Yeah.
Prohibiting the use of city pier zone for merchandise vending.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have motion and a second.
Oh, it is?
Oh, no.
Councilmember Rabinow.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. The next item on the agenda is city manager's items.
Madam Mayor and Council, I'd just like to announce to everybody that's watching tonight, there is a high surf advisory out for the next 24 hours, 15 to 17 foot swells.
Really?
So be careful if you're going down by or into the ocean. Please be careful. And on behalf of the staff, I'd like to wish the council and all the members of the citizens of Pismo Beach a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and a great 2006. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I have a question. Are you having a skeleton staff on Christmas Eve Day?
That's Saturday.
Or, I mean, no, on Thursday. On Thursday?
On a Thursday afternoon, just Thursday afternoon, we're having skeleton staff.
Okay.
But there'll be everybody, there'll be somebody in all departments. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's Thursday afternoon?
Uh-huh.
And then what about Friday?
Friday they're closed.
Friday is
a holiday.
Friday is a scheduled
and that's
city holiday.
Monday?
Pardon me?
Are you closed Friday and Monday?
Monday is also a city holiday, yes, ma'am.
Are there any applications?
Sorry.
He said, is there any applications?
see me after this meeting.
City Attorney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In light of the cancellation of the January 3rd meeting, I was going to update you at that time, but I'll let you know now. I will be out of the country from the evening of January 5th until about the 13th or 14th. My partner Roy will be covering in my absence. I will be back here for the January 17th meeting on my birthday, and make sure that I get to spend my birthday with you all.
Well, be safe and have fun.
Where are you going?
Going on a cruise to the Caribbean.
Oh, boy.
Have fun.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, the next item is council subcommittee reports. Do we have any?
No, I haven't. Hasn't anything come up?
Well, I went to my very last EOC meeting. So,
that's right.
We finished
it.
So, what will happen now, January 1st, is for the South County, the EOC board, Grover Beach will have a representative, which will free me up now to attend the South County Youth Coalition meetings on Thursday. So, I'll have a new thing to report about. And then I'll have some more information about the California Space Authority as well. Thank you, and Merry Christmas to the staff and people at Pismo Beach, too, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. I don't really have anything either. I just, nothing that's outstanding that I should talk about, I don't think. I did have a SLOCOG meeting, but I was trying to think if there was anything on it that was earth-shattering. Can't think of anything. But Merry Christmas to everyone. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Okay, pulled consent item.
Start it off, please. Mm.
Thank you. Tonight you have a resolution accepting a grant from FEMA to help pay for our local hazardous mitigation plan. And in your 2005 budget, there was a 25% set aside money budgeted in the budget for city participation in this. Staff is happy to announce URS firm for granting this, and I want to mention one thing is under our general plan we have a safety element. We also have a emergency management plan that we work with. The local hazardous mitigation plan is kind of the sister document to our safety element, our general plan, but addresses a lot of the federal issues relating to FEMA and how to recover disaster assistance from that. And so that's our kind of our final package of plans that we have. I want to turn this now over to Dan, because Dan Turner, our fire chief, because they manage our emergency master management plan, and we have training on that all the time. And so Dan is better equipped to explain how that all meshes together. Thank you.
Thank you, Randy. Madam Mayor, members of the council, Randy's correct. This is a FEMA-mandated requirement for a local hazard mitigation plan, and we're able to get a grant from them to prepare it. It's a federal law, and what it does is enables us to either receive funding in advance to mitigate a potential emergency or, and maybe more importantly, to receive federal assistance after an emergency. So it is a requirement that we must adhere to. Interestingly enough, because it's federal, doesn't necessarily take into consideration that the 50 states are different. And one of the things that California requires, as Randy mentioned, is a safety element of the general plan. So the components of the LHMP mirror the safety element that's already in place in our general plan. So what it will do is take that component and modernize it to put it into federal terminology, compliant with SEMS and NIMS, which are acronyms, meaning State Emergency Management System and National Incident Management System, so that we're compliant with all those regulations. That's really the purpose of the local hazard mitigation plan. As City Manager Rice mentioned, we did take some exception to the article that appeared in the Tribune, I believe on Sunday, discussing some preparedness issues. And specifically, one of the items that was in there was a little misleading, and it led the reader to believe that the city of Pismo Beach and the city of Morro Bay, I believe, did not have any local emergency preparedness plans, and that is incorrect. Mm-hmm. We have some very detailed emergency plans that are specific action plans. What we did not have at the time that they wrote that article was this local hazard mitigation plan, which is a component of the city's general plan. So the article is correct in that we don't have our LHMP in process. It is as of this evening before you, but the article was incorrect in leading the reader maybe to believe that we have no local emergency plan. We have tsunami plans, earthquake plans, and we've exercised and trained those. So we are prepared for action. You're before your council.
Tidal wave or an earthquake or a Diablo incident, because all streets on that side of the freeway have to come out to Shell Beach Road, and there's no way to get onto the freeway except miles apart. And the same thing on this side of the freeway, there's no way to get on there to evacuate. Aren't we a little different in that arena?
Councilor Ravenaugh, I think you went to my class. Because one of the things I mentioned earlier in our fire facility strategic plan is that Pismo Beach is unique in that the freeway is much like a river. And you can't cross it.
There's only
very few places you can cross that. And that has such a strong component is where we locate fire stations, is being able to get across that freeway.
Yeah.
It does present a barrier to us. And then in addition to that, we have limited means to evacuate the area, essentially northbound or southbound on 101 with a couple of options of Price Canyon Road and a couple of others. But we do have some limitations. And that's the nature of Pismo Beach. It's a long, skinny city.
I have a comment, Madam Mayor. I have a comment. On page 4G, number 7, it says, wildland fires. Persons living or visiting the area adjacent to wildlands in the easterly and northerly parts of town are in danger of being exposed to wildfires. These fires can be uncontrollable. Residents of the Pismo Beach Heights area are in particular danger because of inadequate secondary egress in the area. And I recall Councilmember Natoli mentioning that he would like it looked at, that we would have another exit out of that area. And plus, I think this is a huge issue when it comes to secondary units, because... No, I'm not mad. Did you have more to say? So I think, keep this in mind. This is great. With secondary units, this is something to address. You know, this is something that the people really need to know this, that this is important. Important enough for you to have it in this report.
If I might, Mayor Pro Tem, the greatest threat to from wildfire to this community is under northeast winds. Santa Ana winds, if you think of them that way, which we get in the fall, and they come from the northeast, and they'll blow a fire into the city from the east or from the north. And that's the greatest threat of wildfire for this community. The Pismo Heights is particularly susceptible to that because of the nature of where it is. Our fire marshal, Rob Lewin, is constantly evaluating options for secondary access for the Heights. We know of projects that are being proposed in the county area outside of the city. And part of his process is to try to guarantee, if those were to ever move forward, that they would allow for secondary means to get out of the top of the Heights.
That'd be wonderful.
So we're conscious of that, but some of those are just merely targets of opportunity. Mm-hmm. It is a complicated mm-hmm. area because of the nature. It's an old established community that didn't think about that at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if I might take, I know it's getting late, but if I share with you one more thing, is earlier this month, I think I'm losing track of time, I'm getting old. I think it was in late Yes, it was just before Thanksgiving. So I was on a fire in the city of Ventura. And this, it was a northeast wind fire driven. The homes were able to protect themselves because of an aggressive fuel modification program. And my hat's off to Ventura. They've done a great job. Mm-hmm. We should learn from what they've done.
And you saying that we should learn, because you said stated that back then when they build these homes, they didn't realize what they were creating. But now we do know. So, I mean, to add more homes is very foolish until Rob.
In the Pismo Heights? Not that I'm aware of. We did a lot of fuel modification along Price Canyon Road several years ago. We went in and cut a lot of brush out of there several years ago.
Yeah, but what he's talking about this, Diablo hasn't done anything either, but that doesn't mean it can't. So. And that's all I have, Madam Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Yes.
Has Rob Llewellyn gone on that Google? I went on that Google program that the city attorney was talking about, and actually I didn't go on. My daughter showed me how to do it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was looking at some maybe possible exits off the Heights.
Yeah,
so maybe
neat.
We could talk. I mean, I'm, you know, Google, I'm just being, you know.
There actually is a arbitrary. Road up there. It's a ranch road
that
exits out onto Price Canyon Road, if I remember right.
It does.
Off of Bakersfield.
You know, I don't remember exactly where it goes off of.
And it goes through some private, it's a private drive, isn't it?
You can kind
you know,
of
I,
see
I,
it.
I hate to say because I don't remember
we're
the specifics off the top of
yes,
my head.
Yes, we are. We need to get back on track.
There was a development. Yeah,
this is fun.
Anyway.
Okay. Sorry. So, okay. Is there any other comment? Do you have any comment, Councilman Natoli?
I do know a lot of the property owners, or at least five of them, of that area. And in just passing and just talking to them one time or another, downtown or wherever I see them, they're really aware of that fact that we need an access road going out into their properties, and that's going to be their priority, the biggest priority that they claim. Hopefully they'll follow through with that. So I think that we'll be in good position eventually.
Thank you. We have two speakers' cards. Mary Lee Hyman, did you say what you wanted to say earlier? Okay. Thank you for bringing that to our attention, though, too, pulling it off. Art Anthony.
Madam Mayor, Honorable Counsel, Art Anthony, Lewin Coral Court. I, too, would like to thank Mary Lee for taking it off. I was getting ready to do it myself. She saved me the trouble. I forgot a couple of things that I wanted to show to you from the previous discussions about CDF. I don't feel bad about doing this because everybody else strayed off from the agenda item before, so I'm going to stray off from this one. I hope you got to see these two full-page ads that were run this last week by CDF Firefighters Unions. Everybody get to see those?
I did.
Okay.
Yes.
Your public out there, those who read newspapers, saw all of that. And they also saw this editorial in the Tribune from the 15th of December, which says that we all should take individual responsibility in preparing for disasters. I reflected back to when the disconnect with it out to the audience. Somebody in this city government, don't ask me to volunteer anybody, should be doing some more work with Mrs. Doerr up there at the Tribune, or with Mr. Morum, or maybe with Cynthia Knapp. We are not getting the right kind of, the proper kind of fair coverage that this city should get, because you all have done a really good job, I think, in this regard. And I don't like to see people who've done good work go unrecognized. One thing I said earlier that I'd like to amplify on just a little bit, I think I've still got a couple of seconds left. I said you'd be disappointed, I thought, if when you talked with the other cities in Oceano around the roundtable. And I said that because of what little I know of those other entities, we look like a wealthy kid who's driving a Jaguar, and they're still on their bicycles, except for Arroyo Grande. They've got Walmart. But we are going to wind up being requested to be a donor in all of this stuff. And that's what bothers me, because I think, as somebody said here earlier, I think it was Don Day, we have to look out for number one, and that's Pismo Beach. So I hope you don't misunderstand me. I think it's a good idea to talk to them, to listen to them, to see what they've got in their minds. But make no mistake about it, they think we are really rich.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I just want to make a comment about
may
that
I first?
Real quick. I want to do it first.
Go.
This time. You've been doing it all the time, all night.
Councilman Rabinow.
Okay. The only thing that I would say about that, Art, because I think it's a good observation, it's all in the funding, and that's why I have chosen the route to pursue, personally anyway, is a fire district where the residents pay it out. So we don't.
Aren't we off that topic?
So we don't get into those comments.
Let's go.
Okay, one thing, please.
Yes.
I wanted to address what he's, and I don't want to pull a bill here by hammering the newspaper, but have you ever tried to talk to Sandra Dewar? She's like talking to an icicle.
Oh, dear.
I mean, you just can't communicate with her. That's all there is to it. So I don't think it would do any good.
I will try, though. Okay. I think we have no further comment on this item, so I will entertain a motion. Someone?
Yeah. Adopt the resolution.
Accepting the grant. And the
second.
Choice of the consultant.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't come out of the council.
Okay.
Fund.
Is there a second?
No.
I second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second.
Yes.
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 Yes. With that, this meeting is adjourned.